and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm going to vote for Donald Trump.
Are you?
As it turns out.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that?
April Fool! But I am going to say something bad about President Obama. You'll want to stay tuned for that.
What?
This
That's historic.
This is a big day today. this hour brought to you by Bite Me Brownies.
What? Brought to you by what?
Bite Me Brownies are anything but square. We have 9 extremely delicious flavors. We're based in Phoenix, Arizona. Ship all over the country. Visit us at BiteMeBrownies.com. And place an order today. Once you take a big bite, your mouth will thank you. That's BiteMeBrownies.com. Oh, I love our new sponsorship page. All right, 6 minutes after
the
hour.
And you can sponsor your own hour of the Stephanie Miller Show by going to StephanieMiller.com and clicking on the banner ad there.
Thank you. All right, we have so much news breaking left and right. I don't even know where to start, for God's sakes. And the return of Representative Alan Grayson to the big show today.
He's on the show today.
Very, very exciting. And... it's Friday.
Are you having
That's
a party
right,
or something?
Chillin's
nonstop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is
Fridays with Fugles.
Yeah, I'm the New York Bureau for all 3 hours as usual. It is John Fugles saying, comedian extraordinaire.
I am here to bring peace amongst my loved ones.
Well, then you better be on my side.
So many fans writing me saying, "Mom and Dad are fighting." Both dads and mom are fighting.
Yeah, I have two daddies. Steffi has two daddies. John Fugle's saying, where do we start? A lot of breaking news this morning.
Oh, you think?
Just a little. Well, yes, Chris, I know I made Newsbusters. That's not the biggest news. We'll get to that. Oh, God. Yeah, it's the left wing that's mean and humorless and what else?
Mm-hmm.
Violent?
Oh, yeah. Always.
Yes.
Violence, pro-gun.
Mm. Some people wishing my Republican brother had succeeded in hanging me.
Yes.
Mm. They were criticizing my brother's incompetence in hanging me. Thank you, Newsbusters.
So they were actually criticizing a Republican?
Well, they always helpfully provide a transcript, and I read it over, Chris, and I'm like, that was really funny.
Thank you,
Newsbusters. It was the story of my mom's bird that masturbates to Fox News, people saying, which is absolutely true.
Yes.
And
really.
They Newsbusters took issue with that.
Apparently, me recounting the story was what was filthy.
What? Umbridge was taken?
And not my mother's filthy bird.
John, don't use fancy words like that. The people that read Newsbusters don't know what umbridge means.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
So I don't know the actual story. For the benefit of your listeners who didn't hear this story, there's your mother has a bird who really likes Fox News,
Stephanie,
way my uncle does.
Stephanie can read you the transcript.
Well, yeah, it's helpfully posted at Newsbusters along with the audio, if you'd like that.
That's the kind of quality journalism that I trust for Newsbusters.
I'll do it now, and then we'll get on to Newsbusters' sad, bizarre attempt at humor reveals Stephanie Miller is seriously unfunny. Listen, I was telling a true story.
That's not really busting the news, is it? That's kind of offering an opinion of comedy.
Apparently. Okay.
That's heckling.
Mm. Yeah, they're comedy critics now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ben Bush.
Says, never heard of liberal radio host Stephanie Miller. You're about to hear a reason why.
You know, for a website that has never heard of Stephanie Miller.
They sure talk about me a lot.
They sure do.
Thanks for all the
A lot more people know who I am now, apparently. Here's an example of Miller sharing with her listeners earlier this week what she considers humorous. Actually, a lot of people did. A lot of people. Mm-hmm. John, you don't hear a story every day about a lovebird that masturbates to Fox News.
Well, some people laugh at things besides the blue-collar comedy tour.
Before playing this, you may want to clear any children and pets out of earshot. And here's the one thing I learned from this, Chris, this comedy transcript. So could I have some comedy music,
sure.
Please? You don't contribute a lot to the show. Basically, yours always like, yes.
Well, is the
here,
Stephanie
Chris,
Miller
yeah,
show.
Mm-hmm.
That's Chris.
Chris
says
yes,
and he supplies your OxyContin.
I was reading. I'm like, is that what you said?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
I mean, it was your story. I was just...
All right, here's the transcript. Miller. Chris! Miller's show producer, Chris LaVoie. What?
What a good little joke.
Miller. I then went to Charlotte, North Carolina, where, as you know, my 88-year-old Republican mother and my Republican brother who hung me as a child live. Chris. Yes. Miller. And I think it's important to mention at this point that my mom's bird masturbates to Fox News. LaVoie.
Well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You didn't really even have much reaction to that. You're
That's
like,
all
oh.
I say.
You didn't even seem surprised.
Oh,
anyway, then, John, it's the long, hilarious story of how my mom's bird actually And then my mom actually prepared me for it by doing it for me. She explained to me how it happens, and I
it rubs its little pee-pee along its chain.
Yeah, it's colorful chain. Anyway, so they recount the whole story, John, and then it says, Brian Maloney at Radio Equalizer justifiably asks, is this LibTalk's most pathetic moment?
Failed radio host Brian Maloney?
Oh, the guy that doesn't have a radio show anymore?
Yeah.
I guess the irony is that half of Newsmax readers themselves pleasure themselves to Fox News.
Yes.
Yeah. Brian, yeah, they don't get why that's funny. They're like, that's my every
what I
night.
Do.
That's
I just
fine.
Need to watch a little Hannity to get myself warmed up, and then I'm ready for O'Reilly.
Oh, by the way, Brian. No, that is not. We've had a lot more pathetic moments,
yeah,
frankly.
We have.
You don't listen enough. Miller's father was the late William E. Miller Barry Goldwater's running mate in 1964, who also served as chairman of the National Republican Committee. Suffice it to say, the surviving elder Miller must be so proud. See, that's the part where they say your parents,
they think
you know,
breaking
are embarrassed
your mother's
of
heart.
You. And, yeah. Actually, my mother thought it was hilarious. I told my mother I was going to tell the story.
Yeah.
Why do you think she told me about her masturbating bird, for God's sakes?
So that she could regale us with a tail on the air.
She's a raunchy old biddy.
Birds do it, bees do it.
All right. Thank you, Newsbusters. Thanks for the ink again. Appreciate it.
I don't understand what their problem is with a comedy show telling jokes. I don't really get it.
See, they don't get comedy. They're right-wing.
You hit the nail on the head, John. They don't think it's comedy. It's there every night.
Yeah,
they
right,
assume everyone masturbates to Fox News. They don't get why that's funny.
And also the comments section of that story.
Oh, we'll get to that later.
Yeah
I'm a moron, brain damaged.
Yeah, don't. You know what? The comments section of every website is pretty much proof for me that I'm rooting for the asteroid at this point.
Well, their level of comedy is much more elevated, as you know.
Of course.
Oh, I think that someone did a really hilarious thing, John, about how my mom should just leave me the bird in her will, and because I'm just like the bird because I poop and my... And I don't know, some whole thing like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's right-wing comedy.
Yes.
Yeah. In related news, our grandkids are going to pay for a rich guy's tax cut.
Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. All right.
Wow,
oh,
I want to meet this
guy. I'm going to get to why I'm going to vote for crazy birther Donald Trump now. For president.
Oh, I am too.
Mm-hmm.
I am too.
Mm-hmm.
We deserve a president that can gross out all Americans equally.
Yeah. That's America.
Mm-hmm.
But where do we even start? First of all, were there 100 teabaggers yesterday?
There were 200.
Well, their reports vary. Some said 100. I think Ed Schultz said 200 last night, but a lot of the news reports said 100.
And Bill
Fox
Press
estimates 300,000.
Yeah. And Bill Bill Press said that there were more people in line at the Air and Space Museum than there were at this.
I'm going to say something bad about the president. Here's where it's not. It generally,
no,
for me,
I
tends to be
wait.
More Democrats than necessarily the president. But John, what the hell are we doing? And you've looked at the ratings for the Tea Party. That's why there's 100, 200 people there.
Mm-hmm.
We're holding our budget hostage to these. And this is the problem. Why the one thing I did say about healthcare is we should have started at single payer.
What?
So that we could have gotten...
Stephanie, when you talk this way, it's exactly why the Republicans won in 2010.
I am glad we got health care done. It is a start. But what's with how we negotiate? I mean,
why do
just...
you want a Republican to win in 2012, Stephanie? Why do you criticize Obama once?
Just because they, you know, pick some stupid, crazy number like $100 million, which, as Robert Reich says, this is exactly the wrong thing to do right now.
Exactly right.
For the economy. And yet, because they're hostage to this crazy number they threw out, this is the number, John, they started at with Paul Ryan, 30 million. And now somehow we've become yes. And now you watch them on TV and we're negotiating with Mark Meckler, this crazy teabagger who's going, oh, that's crazy. There's no way. That's not even a start. Even 60 million isn't a start.
Look, we love Democrats. We love Democrats, but they've caved so many times there's miners trapped inside them. Now, they capitulated last winter when they said yes on Bush's tax cuts, which are going to wreck the economy.
Yeah.
And you know, let's not add the 3% tax hike that Bush planned on adding on the people who can easily afford a 3% tax hike. And now this proves that if you want someone to compromise on your already compromised compromise, the Democrats are your party.
Well, and here's the other thing, John, is that, you know, today the other breaking news, unemployment's down now to, you know, and again, not good, but at 8.8%. I mean... As I've said, Frank Reich and other, have said, this is exactly the wrong thing to do now. And how do we still control the presidency and the Senate. Why are we, did you see this crazy little band of people out there? There's 100,000 people in Madison and have been for how long now?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially.
Exactly.
I mean,
if some Tea Partiers would show up at that protest.
And look at what just happened in Wisconsin. The judge just overruled us. Guess what? This fight isn't over in Wisconsin. The law is not in effect. It is not what the people want. And Anyway, I'm sorry,
the
John.
The fight is not over in Wisconsin, and the party is just about to begin in Wisconsin, but we can talk about that later.
Yeah. Well, oh.
If you know what I refer to.
Oh. Is that for sure?
I think it's 90% for sure.
Do we...
Oh, well, it's very exciting, but we can. All right, we'll get to that in a moment.
We'll
all
get
right.
to that later on.
Here's why I'm voting for Donald Trump. I don't care if he's a crazy birth or reality star. Of course, if he is actually going to run, John, he'll completely disavow this. But
I demand he produces original hair.
Yes, I found this from CNN.com in November of 1999. Donald Trump, let's tax the rich to pay the national debt. Well, what a Jim Dandy idea.
Yes.
Then we don't have to cut Head Start and take it out on the backs of workers and the kids and
old people. You mean like
people.
Bill Clinton did when he balanced the budget every year?
I mean, seriously, listen to this. Donald Trump, this is from CNN.com, 1999. Donald Trump is proposing a one-time net worth tax on individuals and trusts worth $10 million or more. By Trump's calculation, his proposed 14.25% levy on such net worth would raise $5.7 trillion and wipe out the debt in one full swoop. No one has put forward such a plan to make this country entirely debt-free as we enter the next millennium, he said. By my calculations, 1% of Americans who control 90% of the wealth in this country would be affected by my plan. The other 99% of the people would get deep reductions in their federal income taxes. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. As Senator Sanders and Michael Moore and others have said, we're not broke. The money is in the wrong hands, and these priorities are so wrong-headed. And I just, you know, John, the fact that we've negotiated already to 30-something million dollars in cuts, and they're still saying, E.J. Dionne, you know, it's funny, I was just thinking this yesterday, and then E.J. Dionne wrote a piece in the Washington Post about how Boehner is playing the Democrats, and we'll talk about that when we get back, but it really is infuriating. 18 minutes after the hour. All right, lots to get to. Right back with more Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This portion of the show brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Mm-hmm. Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned vehicles, certified affordable luxury. Ooh, blue chip sponsors, yay. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. One of my very favorite writers in the world, Robin Abkarian from the LA Times, will be on the big show today as well. We both did a show. We did a, what's it called, Hollywood Uncensored.
Sure, on the Reels channel.
Yes, it'll air this weekend and then about a billion more times.
Yes.
We were on with the actress that plays Marilyn Monroe in the new Kennedy thing.
Oh, cool.
It's airing on Reels channel. Remember, it didn't air on the History Channel. So we did a show with Sam Rubin, and it was way fun.
Cool.
It'll air this weekend. Stuff is up.
And there's information on your Facebook page about it.
Sure. If I could figure out how to get to my Facebook page, I could tell you where things are, but okay. John Fugel saying good morning.
Morning, sugar. How you doing?
Oh, there you are. I didn't know where you were. You were not potted up, as they say in the radio business. Hello, sir.
A lot of guys have that problem. I'm sitting here enjoying trying to watch you on Ustream, Steph.
Is that working this morning?
No, it's not. And that's
working.
Another thing I'm dealing with.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
And my phone screening thing isn't working either. Mm. Yay! Okay.
Hey.
All right.
Now you've gone against Obama, and you're destroying the entire republic by doing so.
Well, it's not, you know, John, it's not even the president, it's Democrats to me. You know, like when people scream about Gitmo isn't close, well, guess what? That's because some Democrats got scared.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like,
absolutely. But again,
I look at this pathetic smattering outside the Capitol, I'm like, that's what you're scared of?
Well, but that's why a lot of Democrats are mad, Steph. And again, we love Obama. We would like Obama to be reelected. We don't expect perfection. He didn't run as a liberal. We know he's a moderate. It's all established. But the fact is, people do want to see him fighting a little harder.
Well, you know what it is, John? It's this holy middle, the independence, and that is a political reality, unfortunately,
I agree.
Today.
And I think for a long time, Obama was very wise not to wade into Wisconsin because he didn't want to have himself tagged to that issue, and it might drag the polls down and all that. But the time has come that people, you know, people are against this. People are nationwide supportive.
Right. And I think he's handled Libya very well. And, you know, it's just they're dopes on the right. It's like, what, was he supposed to get a megaphone and go on the White House lawn? Here's what we're doing on Libya. By the way, the CIA's...
Libya's tricky. And I'm here today to play... I want to play Jimmy Carter with you and the MOOCs today because I can't stand to see people I love fighting. And I've had people all... Well, you know, there's lust in my heart, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But I can't stand seeing people I love fighting, and I've had people from Steffland writing me all week about the rancor going on in the force here. And I think that Libya is an area where we have
please,
to
Oh, please, we're family. This is... Chris, you can confirm this. We've been fighting for years like this. We love each other.
Yeah.
We socialize together, for God's sakes.
When it comes to Libya, you know, Bishop Desmond Tutu supported doing this. The guy's a monster. At the same time, America doesn't have a very good track record of playing the enemy of my enemy is my friend when it comes to the Middle East. Who exactly are we empowering by helping out the rebellion? You know, it hasn't really worked out with Saddam or Osama bin Laden. So it's a lot of wait and see and hope for the best. And the best we can hope for is that they turn it over to NATO as soon as possible.
Yeah. Well, and I guess they have. But, it's but you know, I agree with you. It is tricky. It's hard to, you know, I mean, look, Newt Gingrich... When he's the most coherent voice on Libya, you know we're in trouble.
Well, I wouldn't call him coherent even slightly. Newt Gingrich can't even stay faithful to one of his own talking points. He's cheating on his own memes.
By the way, is there any you know more evidence that they're rooting for a shutdown on the Republican side when they bring Newt Gingrich in for a pep talk? It's like what are you bringing Newt Gingrich in for?
Unless to depress the freshman.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this is the, speaking of my favorite writers, E.J. Dion in the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
Part of this, John, I hope is not true, but this is exactly what I was starting to think when I hear how far we've come. I was watching, Chuck Todd filling in for Chris Matthews, and it's like we're negotiating on TV with this crazy teabag guy.
He's like,
they're already at the number that, how do you think, you know, the White House still control, or, you know, the Democrats still control the White House and the Senate, how do you think, and they're just literally no compromise, no surrender from the teabaggers. They're just like, oh, that's pathetic, even 61 million's pathetic, blah, blah, and here we are, the ball keeps moving, we keep moving the ball toward them. And it's
undemocratic. You know, they like to say un-American. Let's start saying undemocratic, because they hate democracy anyway. You can't say no compromise. It's exactly what Newt Gingrich said in 94 with the last government shutdown.
Yeah.
Politics is based on compromise. If you say that, I already know I can't take you seriously, because you're going to have to do it at some point. It's all theater. All this stuff is trying to mobilize the bases in advance of 2012.
Listen to this, E.J. Dion, how Boehner is playing the Democrats. Richard Nixon espoused what he called the madman theory. It's a negotiating approach that induces the other side to believe you're capable of dangerously irrational actions and leads it to back down to avoid the wreckage your rage might let loose. House Republicans are pursuing their own madman theory in budget negotiations with a clever twist. Speaker Boehner is casting himself as the reasonable man, fully prepared to reach a deal to avoid a government shutdown, but he also has to satisfy a band of wild-eyed, bomb-throwing freshmen, as he characterized House members in a Wall Street Journal interview. And I think that there is some truth to this. So we'll talk about that as we continue. 29 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Fugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Cut the crap, Ola, sister. It won't wash here.
It won't wash here. It won't wash anywhere, for God's sakes. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. This portion of the show brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in that promo code. Stephanie, be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. John Fuglesang doesn't like to leave his house for meetings. I hear there's a lovely slush. New York is a Slurpee as we speak.
Yes, April showers bring April slush. Falling from the skies. It's
beautiful.
Disgusting.
Oh, yeah. Happy April Fool's Day, by the
way. Right? So, like, it's pretty much like if Seattle and Scotland had an angry bastard child, it would be this winter that will never leave.
Yeah, it's been a tough one, I understand, in New York. And my thoughts are with you.
Of course they are.
It was like 1,000 degrees here yesterday
in
L.A.
It was 93 in downtown L.A. yesterday.
God, yeah. All right. So I was talking about E.J. Dionne's piece in the Washington Post about this budget. And, John, you and I guess, agree on this. It's just, what is it me? Are they just better at negotiating than we are?
It's Republicans? Like, yes, they are. They're better at campaigning and negotiating, just not at governing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is just exactly the wrong way to go about this, as we keep talking about with the, you know, where our recovery is at. And yet, somehow we have found ourselves, where are we now? We've negotiated, Chris, to what, $33 billion in cuts.
Yep.
That's right. Republicans said $33 billion, and Harry Reid said, well, you take $40.
Yes. E.J. Dionne wrote a piece about how Boehner is playing the Democrats. He writes, as responsible public officials, Democrats are asked to make additional concessions just to keep the bomb throwers at bay, meaning the the smattering of 100 teabaggers.
Yes.
This is the perverse genius of what the House Republicans are up to. Nobody really thinks anything like their $57 billion in remaining proposed budget cuts can pass. It's unlikely all of their own members are confident about all the cuts they voted for. But by taking such a large collection of programs hostage, the GOP can be quite certain to win many more fights than it would if each reduction were considered separately. And he makes a good piece. Do people really realize what they're cutting? Ugh, he begin with the outrageous $1.1 billion 15% cut from Head Start. Mm-hmm. A program that offers preschool education to roughly 965,000 poor children. According to the Center for Law and Social Policy, this would knock 218,000 kids out of Head Start and force 16,000 classrooms to close. What could be a better use of public money than helping our poorest children early in life so they might achieve more in school and later? John,
but more dropouts means more crime, which we can blame Democrats, and more Republicans get elected. What's your problem, Steph?
You've met my best friend, who's a psychologist in the prison system. She talks about this all the time. This is the number one problem, in her opinion, in this country, is education. This is why most of these guys end up in prison.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is why I don't really believe that the Republicans who want to defund the Department of Education are patriots. Because don't you think America deserves to have the finest public school system in the world? Do you want to be Somalia or ancient Greece? Come on.
Yeah. EJ, let me just finish this up. So here's what the Republican here's where the Republican strategy works so brilliantly. Let's assume neither the administration nor Senate Democrats, even the most timid among them, can allow the Head Start or Pell Grant cuts to go through. That still leaves a lot of other truly worthy programs to be defended. But heaping cut upon cut, Republicans get advocates of each particular cause fighting among themselves. And with so many reductions on the table, voters who would actually oppose most of them if they knew the details don't get to hear much about any individual item because the media concentrates almost entirely on the partisan drama of the shutdown fight, not the particulars. You can also imagine the argument from those Democrats petrified of their own shadows. Well, say the scaredy cats, we have to save Pell Grants and Head Start, so why don't we give House Republicans what they want on the National Endowment for the Arts or their cuts in foreign aid, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. You know, it's like Jim Wallace said, really? Mm-hmm. Mosquito nets for kids? Really?
Yeah.
Medical research, the Women, Infants, and Children program, Meals on Wheels, or mine safety inspections. I mean, we have to give them something, or those crazies will shut down the government, and we might get blamed. Boehner can just sit back and smile benignly as Democrats battle over which concessions they should give him. When the negotiating gets tough, he can sadly warn that his freshmen need more, because he can't guarantee what they'll do. The perpetually tanned one is a shrewd dude. Democrats who underestimate him were playing into his hands. E.J. Dionne in the Washington Post.
So it's him and Eric Cantor playing good douche, bad douche.
Yes, it is a game of good douche, bad douche. You're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's anyway, you know, Ed Schultz was going off about this and last night, and I agreed with him. I just, you sort of, you know, it goes on and on, right, John? Like the healthcare fight, and you just get weary. But then suddenly you wake up and go, wait a minute, how is it that we already negotiated away the public option? I mean, I think because we start from a more reasonable place, because we are more reasonable people, we get screwed.
Democrats start from a place of compromise rather than fighting for principle.
Right, for what's reality, and let's just get this done for the American people, and yada, yada, and here we go.
Now, in fairness, this is how it's always been in human history, and it's why progress takes so long. You look at how long it took for black folks to go from being property to getting rid of apartheid. It's most of our country's history. That's why when you look at the gay rights movement, how gay, lesbian Americans have come so far in 25 years towards social acceptance and empowerment, I think gays should run everything.
Thank you.
All right. Now,
the other thing.
Oh, and by the way, one more thing. Tea Party, 32% approval rating in America right now, Democrats, listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned
you.
That on Drudge, okay?
Oh,
32%.
That yappy, delusional little Eric Cantor forgot. Did you see what he said? I'm so tired of these guys,
yes,
John,
that the Senate
trying
act,
to, like,
the House
act tough.
Law?
Who can act tougher for the Tea Party? It's like, listen, if you pass this, then the House bill becomes law. It's like, oh, you twit.
Yeah.
I mean, does he seriously think that's legal? Yeah, that's not how it works.
Right.
Well, I'm glad Cantor said that because it'll make Lawrence O'Donnell happy in his old age forever, that quote. But my God, that this man actually believes that if the Senate does nothing and the president doesn't sign it, the House bill becomes law.
Yeah,
how can he think that?
Yeah, it's like people that change the kids that change the rules in the middle of the game. Like, yeah, well, I'd sunk your battleships there. Ah. What?
Huh?
No, moron. Despite fresh pressure from teabaggers, Boehner said yesterday, Boehner? Did I say Boehner?
You said Boehner.
Oh my God, that's did Boehner. You see Anthony Weiner obviously listens to our show. Did
Why,
you see
yes.
his jokes at the,
He had a great one.
Oh.
he said, first of all, Boehner, what are you talking, what am I, Anthony Weiner? Come on, man. Embrace him.
Exactly. That's why the Democratic Party needs a Weiner injection. In fact, next time he's on your show, you need to get some DNA from that Weiner so we can clone him.
Thank you.
Yes.
So Boehner said Republicans can impose our will on the White House and Senate Democrats on legislation to cut tens of billions of dollars in federal spending at a news conference. Boehner denied Democratic suggestions that he has already agreed to jettison nearly half of the $61 billion in cuts passed by the House a month ago. What is the date now? The first. April 9th is the deadline when we will run out of money. Let's be generous and say there were 200 of them. Yesterday.
There were 200 of them.
And I'm like, what? Why are they part of the debate at all?
The sad thing is, if like those Tea Partiers would go protest at a 100,000-person Wisconsin labor rally, the media might cover it.
Yeah.
Like, I want Tea Party to protest all my shows so the mainstream liberal media will cover it. Because if there's a couple of douchebags with tea bags on their head, the media shows up.
Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
I appreciate Speaker Boehner and the rest of his Republican leadership in the House. What a tremendous... a difficult job they have.
Oh.
I'm sure it's not easy trying to negotiate with the Tea Party screaming in their ears.
Okay, that was kind of funny.
That's kind of funny. But seriously, it's like, is there anything more adorable than Republicans caring about the deficit for the first time? They don't care about the deficit. They don't care about the jobs.
And here's the other thing, is the American people, that's the other media storyline that drives me crazy. Like, the entire public, it's all we care about is the deficit. That's not true. It's
no
jobs.
No one cares about it. No one cares about it. And no Republican
and
president
this is,
balanced the budget
right.
since Nixon. They've never cared about
and
it.
This
it's
cutting,
all theater.
This cutting is gonna lose jobs. That's the whole problem. This is why this is not the time to do this kind of cutting, and instead of standing up and doing the right thing, it's just we're negotiating with McLiplis, Senator Mitch McLiplis.
The president has shut the debate out entirely, and Democrats have the nerve to call anyone who expresses concern an extremist. If you're wondering the Tea Party, where the Tea Party came from, look no further than that.
Wait, so the president hasn't said anything, and that makes them extremist?
Well, it is extreme. These budget cuts are extreme. And I'm talking about the ones we've already agreed to.
They want to gut the EPA. They want more crap in your water, folks. When are the Republicans going to wake up and realize that these people are not patriots?
Yeah.
It's not about left and right. It's about aristocracy versus democracy, kids.
Yeah, and there's Bat Bachman yesterday at her smattering saying $61 billion, that's just a start. That's not even a... I mean, we're negotiating with crazies. We really are. Here's Bat.
And cutting off funding to groups like Planned Parenthood has to be one of those issues that we're just not going to back down from.
Mm. I love how people like Michelle Bachmann are trying to inject abortion into the Tea Party when the original Tea Partiers were libertarians and didn't want abortion a part of the Tea Party.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, you got to tell your libertarian friends, your Tea Party started out as a legitimate, you know, social responsibility exercise by the Ron Paul guys.
Right.
And it's become a holding pen for the fruitcakes.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Randy Rhodes talks about this a lot, that when it started, you're absolutely right, it got hijacked by these organized, by the Army of Dick. Army's groups.
I found myself agreeing with some of their points when they first started.
Yeah.
Well, but
sure.
Now I mean, I want nothing to do with them.
Well, yeah. I mean, whenever you hear Rand Paul or Ron Paul speak, you're like, wow, brilliant. Wow, brilliant. Ooh, scary. Wow, brilliant. Ooh, scary.
Yikes. Ooh, yeah. No, I mean, just yesterday, in fact, Rand Paul did that, John. He basically was making fun of Newt Gingrich, which you're going, that's the thing. Every once in a while you go, yeah, so he's really speaking the truth. He's saying, oh, he has more, you know, positions on Libya than wives, whatever. And I thought, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then he goes on Fox News and he falsely claims that public workers don't contribute to their pension and health care plans.
Yeah, it's so offensive. But it's a good thing Fox News challenged him on that.
That's funny. April Fool! Okay. This is the thing I was talking about. This, it just was hilarious. I found this. I would love for someone to ask Trump this next time. Are you still for the plan that you put forward in 1999? I bet you if he's at all, that's how you'll know, John, if he's actually serious about running as a Republican, because he'll have nothing to do with this than if he's actually running.
You know what? I can't wait for him to make his big announcement during Sweeps Week for the finale of his show.
Yeah.
Donald Trump's not running. None of these people are running soon. Yeah. Newt Gingrich is only running for higher public speaking fees.
That's exactly why.
Yeah.
Same with Sarah Palin.
Same with Michelle Bachmann. Michelle Bachmann is running for her own rep. John Boehner can't stand Michelle Bachmann, but he wants her to run because she will keep the fruit cakes in the paddock.
Yes. All right. I had a visual of a paddock full of fruitcakes. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Too Weird, Man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1.
It's a great Friday song,
right?
Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson. Hi, Lavender.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Luke. Happy April Fool's Day.
Thank you. Word.
And I tell you, the joke that I've been waiting for to get to the punchline since November is starting to really come true, because it's becoming clear that a lot of these Tea Party folks just don't actually know how the government works.
Yeah. Apparently, Eric Cantor's just writing his own rules.
Dan,
if you don't pass this, then...
My seniors who are finishing government class know more about the operation of the government than these people who have been elected to do the country's business.
Did you see the Republican guy? Yeah, you know what it is, Levener? They need to turn off Fox and stop looking at the Fox maps. The Republican that said, well, what's next about after Libya? Are we going into Africa?
It's like,
God.
No.
Not until they find oil.
What's that, Lavender? Sorry.
And then there was the shot heard around the world from New Hampshire.
Sure, exactly, where Plymouth Rock also is. What?
Would it actually kill them to read a book once in a while?
God, no wonder they want to cut Head Start. It's just they want a nation of dopes, apparently.
Yeah. Yes, yes, they do.
Freshman Republican Tom Marino, is that how you say his name, from Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is also, by the way, John, member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee and the House Subcommittee on Issues Related to African Foreign Policy instead of Libya.
But
where does it stop? Do we go into Africa next?
He's on a committee that's in charge of African Foreign Policy?
By the way, for those of you that may be unaware, Libya is in Africa. That's where
it's on the African continent, yes.
Wow. We won't be going into southern Africa until they find oil.
That's right. Although there are diamonds in South Africa, they might want to watch out there.
Oh, Pat Robertson's got that covered.
Okay, yeah.
Well, all right, so we've been talking about the budget deal. Is it too late to go with the Donald Trump plan? Where is he? Only he can save us now.
Yeah, he's strange and
silent
on this.
Listen, I will agree that the president was born in Kenya if Donald Trump will become president and enact his plan, a one-time tax on the rich, which would completely wipe out our debt and our deficit.
Well, the key word there is one time. You know, if Obama was going to be smart, and again, he's a very smart man, but he could come out and say, hey, we're going to let the Bush tax cuts lapse for 2 years, or we're going to raise taxes on the rich for 2 years and see what it does, and then we'll let it lapse and let the American people see for themselves. Bill Clinton balanced a budget that way. Eisenhower balanced budgets all the time that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Socialists.
Yes.
Just like all our capitalist allies do, and it works.
Budget talks came to life Wednesday, but not without tension between the White House and Senate Democrats, worried the administration was too quick to agree to the $33 billion in spending cuts to try to move Speaker Boehner toward what remains a very uncertain deal. Democrats fear that unless the administration takes a stronger stand now, the president will be nibbled to death. Have you heard of that? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And be weaker when he faces Republicans again this spring over the bigger fight on raising the debt ceiling. Biden obviously went in and talked to them. He said their main reason to be here is to make sure Democrats in the Senate and the president are on the same page. We're on the same page. We're working off the same number now. Now, a warning. That's the thing, John. I can't even keep track. Where were we at? $10 billion?
Uh-huh. It's just comedy.
Yeah. And then because the crazy teabaggers said $100 million, and they just pulled that out of their ass, where Eric Cantor pulls out his congressional rules from, apparently.
Mm-hmm. It's like, $60 billion.
Okay.
We're going to cut money from EPA, from cleaning up the environment, from schools, from cops, from fire departments. Mm-hmm. Rich guys will get a tax cut, and it'll all work out fine. And if it doesn't, we know who will blame.
Yeah, and they're obviously demanding more cuts. They're saying, the $61 million is a joke. It's not enough, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, that's why they hate government. They're not good at it. They're good at getting elected. They're not good at running it.
Yeah, Democrats complain that Bill Daley committed them to $3 billion more in cuts without any certainty that Boehner will not demand more. This is, John, this is it. This is the way we negotiate. Biden himself called Boehner Wednesday in an apparent effort to lock in the number. The speaker reserved the right to demand more reductions.
Wow.
I mean, this is what E.J. Dionne's talking about. He's like, listen, these crazy teabaggers, I don't know, they're going to shut the government down.
Yep. And let's see how bad the Democrats can capitulate this time. that's the only question.
You think that's what's going to happen?
When they go to battle, how much will they capitulate?
Well, Ben, this is the way, I love this headline. Tea Party has warned GOP on deal-making, and you look outside, you're like, there's 100 of them! There's tens of them! We have to do something here!
And the Tea Party coalition in Congress is tiny!
Yeah.
It's tiny!
And Harry Reid is so scared he just put a doily over his head to hide.
Bachman, the stunning Steve King. Mm. There, Mike Pence, right-wing tool. Meanwhile, right inside the Capitol, the Boehner trying to figure out how to negotiate without looking. He can't even look like he's talking. Did you hear that story? There was this panic that, it would look like he's even talking. Well, guess what, morons? You have to talk to the other side to get anything done congressionally in this country. He literally can't even look like he's negotiating with the president or with the... And this is what I'm saying, John. Like, hello, we control the Senate and the presidency. Like, you can't,
Exactly. So why do you hate Obama so much, Steph, that you're criticizing like
Shush. Tea Party, that guy, Mark Meckler, he was everywhere on TV yesterday, teabagger, organizer guy. He said their responsibility, he's talking about Republicans, their responsibility is to lead. They've been granted a temporary shot at showing they can lead the country back to fiscal solvency, and we expect them to behave in a way that people want. Then they had Gingrich, the last Republican to shut the government down.
Of course they did.
Addressing Republicans in a closed-door meeting.
But he wasn't talking about that. He was stressing the family values issues.
Oh, by the way, today the Republican House will force a largely symbolic bill that would compel the Senate to swallow every last dime of the $61 billion in spending cuts. Act tough for the teabaggers.
Yeah, they bully and it works.
Yeah.
You got to clone the wiener.
Yes. Pence, I love this. Mike Pence clearly has always been right on everything. He predicted that thousands would gather yesterday at the teabagger rally.
Yeah, Michelle.
Oops. Yes, once again, have yet to prove how off they are on their math, whether it's the budget. There's going to be thousands.
I read somewhere yesterday that Michelle Malkin predicted almost 1 million.
Of course.
Really? Yeah.
Also,
fuzzy math.
As my mom and my Republican mom said, Michelle Malkin's brilliant. She's brilliant.
She's brilliant?
Yes, that's what my mom thinks.
He makes me sad. I have testosterone.
Pence said he thinks the event will hamstring Republican leadership. He said that it will not hamstring Republican leadership, rather, but he said the rally will make it more difficult for some Democrats in the Senate to vote against fiscal responsibility. Listen, if you're afraid of 100 crazy people with tea bags hanging off their hats, then seriously, you
there
have no business. Go ahead.
There has not been a fiscally responsible president from the Republican Party since Godfather II was in theaters.
Yes. Oh, you know what the chant from the crowd was, John? Cut it or shut it!
Yeah.
Meaning
it's amazing
shut
seeing
down
people
the government.
Are so concerned about deficits ever since January 21st, 2009.
Oh, I love this, by the way. One group, Tea Party Nation, called for Boehner's ouster already.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and again,
resident said, they're chicken, they're cowards, they're our employees, we need to fire them. Yes, you need to fire John Boehner already.
But sadly, that's all that Harry Reid's hanging his hat on. They're betting the farm on this division in the Republican Party, and you need a little bit more than that.
58 minutes after the hour, right back, more Fridays with Fugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
sponsored by Eric Kenny AIDS Life Cycle Rider number 1596, riding 545 miles from San Francisco to Los Angeles between June 5th and 11th to end AIDS. That's ALC10.EricKenny.com. Together we can end AIDS. ALC10.EricKenny.com. All right.
Yay.
You have cool advertisers.
Mm-hmm. StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, here it is. I found it. All right. We're having Robin M. Carrion, one of my very favorite writers in the world, from the L.A. Times, on. Next hour, along with Alan Grayson, the return of our favorite congressperson. Okay.
You know, I can't listen to this show anymore with your relentless Obama bashing.
Thank you, Jim.
You're lucky even president's for you.
She doesn't
realize
that she's the reason the GOP took the House.
Somebody wrote that you all are lucky I even Steph for you. Okay, you can watch Steph, me, on Hollywood Uncensored on the Reels channel this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. I was on with Robin O'Carrion, and you would have liked her, Jim, the girl that plays Marilyn Monroe in the Kennedy movie, which will also be airing on Reels channel. Anyway, it re-airs like a billion times.
It does. Yes. And there's all kinds of information up on your Facebook page.
And it was really fun. Yes. My friend Sam Rubin hosted. It was me and Robin and the Marilyn Monroe girl. And
I love Robin F. Carrion.
Oh, she's so funny and smart. All right. Let's see. Yes, this is... John, you were saying many people writing you that they wanted us to kiss and make up.
Yes, you're Christine, tearing this family apart.
Thank you. Christina in the... Here's a love
letter.
You're
tearing me apart, Lisa.
Here's a love letter for all of us. Christina in Cambridge, you're all pretty. For those of us who are more like Chris, and particularly Jim, as I am, Stephanie serves as the happy, upbeat person who keeps us off the ledge and fills us with hope and joy. When we get too far to the happy, smiley people place and forget to pay attention, Chris and Jim remind us to keep our eyes open and keep it real. Oh. And screw those listeners who give ultimatums and make demands. You're all Baskin-Robbins, and there's a flavor for everyone.
I hope I'm...
He's Chunky Conspiracy unless, Monkey, unless and I'm... I don't know what I am.
That's Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, that's Ben and Jerry's. That's not right. Baskin-Robbins.
Wow.
Mm. Well, unless you're, you know, lactose intolerant and diabetic. But you know.
You're anal amaretto or something. I don't know, Chris.
Excuse me?
Oh, I kid.
What?
You're a little high-strung.
That's not...
Don't talk like that.
All right. I apologize.
People are having breakfast. Well, they were. But, man.
Yeah.
I've already offended Isaac in Oklahoma. Hi, Isaac.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I was just calling. I mean, I'm not... I'm a relatively new listener. Yeah.
Were you alerted to my show by Newsbusters?
I was actually just looking online, and I kind of chose. I looked actually searching the search engines to see some of the liberal talk radio shows. I listened to both.
Both sides.
Both sides.
Uh-huh.
Right. And some of the terms I find offensive from both sides. As you,
yeah,
as
both
you
sides
call
are pretty
John,
much the same like that. Yeah.
For the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
What have you been offended by thus far?
The one that I'm really offended by is because maybe it's just I knew somebody or have known people, but when I was in high school, somebody actually got teabagged. I mean, I'm sure you're
teabagged. Someone got teabagged in high school?
Yes.
Involuntarily?
Involuntarily, they held him down. It was part of a freshman initiation thing for football.
Oh, a football hazing thing. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that happened. I don't think your school is the only school that's happened in.
No.
That's pretty disgusting and horrible,
absolutely not. But when you... Someone getting actually teabagged...
Well, we're only talking about, you know, what do you call
mutual
it? Consensual teabagging.
Yeah.
See, my problem just goes with that is the people don't have anything to fight back. John Boehner, that's fine. I have no problem. He can fight back on his own.
Right.
But I also think you're missing something as far as... Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Isaac, go ahead. Go ahead, Isaac.
My thing is I also think you need to promote the teabaggers, as you would say, and for a reason that maybe you haven't thought of.
Uh-huh.
But... They need to, in order for the liberals to have a serious and where they're uncontested in running and being reelected,
which will never happen,
is having a third party come into play. If you have that third party come into play, as a lot of Tea Party members
tea people.
Do, they want another
tea
party.
People.
If you get another person to run, that's going to take the Republican vote away.
That's true. I have said from day one, Isaac, that I think the Tea Party is nothing but good news for Democrats, and I think that it's playing out that way because I think we're seeing how extreme they are, and that's why their ratings have gone down so much.
I'm actually waiting for a second party, but go on. Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right, Isaac, I get you.
He stumbled across our show.
Tea people. Mm-hmm. That never ends well.
No.
By the way, here's some of the comments about me on Newsbusters. You know, Jim, it's always the people that write the comments that are even better. They posted a transcript very helpfully of my hilarious story about my mom's masturbating Fox News lovebird.
And they assumed you made it up.
No, I saw it with my own eyes. Trust me. Anyway, and I mentioned my brother, my Republican brother, hung me as a child. Let's see. Bird brain. Submitted by Bill Bresky. Clearly the woman suffered brain damage from hanging as a child. That's the nicest thing that was said about me on the whole.
Mm-hmm.
Brain damage. Let's see. Well, hang on. I'm scrolling down. You can't print these? That's too bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, so I'm a bird brain.
That's clever, though.
Sounds like her brother was incompetent. Oh, see, they would have hoped that he had succeeded in killing me. Because that would have been, that would have been funnier.
That would be funny, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
Well, she's out of the womb. She can go now.
Does this mean I will be sent to? I'm supposed to laugh. Does this mean I'll be sent to a re-education camp for people who don't laugh at morons that are not funny? All right, I can't read the whole thing. It's just and then the comments just get like worse and worse. You know what I mean?
Right-wingers and humor. It's yeah. Wow.
In fairness, there's plenty of toxic liberals who comment away on pages too with nasty, mean stuff. But this is like really nasty when they're making fun of you not being killed as a child.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, okay. Wait. This is their humor because by way of compare and contrast, Jim. Because what I did was not funny, but this is their birds of a feather. It's like a comedy piece they posted there.
I see.
When her mother passes, Miller should get as her inheritance nothing but the bird. She and the bird will get along famously. It will metaphorically represent her audience. Number one, bird brain. Number two, beady eyes. Number three, no visible penis. Number four, bony legs and shoeless feet. Five, bobs its head in mindless agreement. Six, regurgitates the same vomit over and over. Number seven, craps in its own water and drinks it. Eight, jobless and dependent on authoritative figure to feed it. Nine, comfortable behind bars. And ten, speaks only what its handler repeats but has no idea what it's saying. And they loved that on the Newsbusters. They thought that was hilarious.
I resent that. Your audience is much more like masturbating chimps than birds. And I think that's very, very deeply offensive. In this
yes,
region.
Why?
Well, they have opposable thumbs, for one. It makes it a lot easier.
Oh, boy. All right.
The left are the authoritarian party.
Didn't you know that?
We march in lockstep.
Yes.
They're the ones in power. Think of all the liberal fascists throughout history.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. All those progressive totalitarians.
Yes.
Yes, Hitler built the Autobahn.
Can we buy these people dictionaries?
Just like that commie Dwight David Eisenhower with his highway system.
Here's some interesting news. The teabaggers, they love Bachman, but not so much for president. Even they think she's too dopey.
Wow.
Janice Jolly.
Is she jolly?
She was a teabagger that was there yesterday. She said she's got great ideas and presents herself well, but I really like Sarah Palin.
Oh, yes.
Because she's the thinking man, Michelle Bachman.
Right. You want some intellectual heft with that.
Jolly praised Palin as a real Western woman, saying she appreciates the former governor's hunting and fishing background, which are the primary things you'd need to be president.
Plus,
being able to club a halibut to death.
According to, what's his name, the kid, she doesn't know which end of the gun to point at stuff.
Yes.
She's not really a very good shot.
Yes. A lot of people on the reality show said, it looks like she was doing that stuff for the first time.
Yeah.
For the cameras. Others at the rally picked Rand Paul as their top pick for president.
Yes, because Obama's not got enough experience.
Oh, by the way, this story, Chris, saying there were 100 people there, and the organizer said it was because of rain.
Yeah.
Mm. Hey, it looked like it's been pretty cold in Madison.
Yeah.
A lot of snow.
Yeah. Except for the palm trees.
It deflected some of the snow, and somehow they managed 100,000. Mm-hmm. Weird. Mm. All right. Jim, did you hear the breaking news? It's not April Fool's. I'm voting for Donald Trump.
Yes,
assuming he sticks with his policy. I don't even care
it's
that he's...
a huge policy. Huge. Huge.
As long as he... I don't... Sure, I will admit the president was born in Kenya. There.
Yeah.
How much you want to bet that's going to make Newsbusters later, too?
You know, they don't post policy things with you. They only post things about masturbating birds.
Stupid, exactly. Stupid, cute, crap in your own pants.
They're afraid to get into a policy argument with you.
They're afraid to tell birthers that Obama was born here. I mean, that's even worse.
Yeah, this is from 1999, CNN.com. Donald Trump has a plan to pay off the national debt, grant a middle-class tax cut, and keep Social Security afloat by taxing rich people like himself.
Wow.
Yep.
Give me my Donald Trump music for this. Right. Why not? He's proposing. He was proposing. If he's actually running, Jim, he will disavow any knowledge of this. He is proposing a one-time net worth tax on individuals and trusts worth $10 million or more. By his calculations, his proposed 14.25% levy on such net worth would raise $5.7 trillion and wipe out the debt in one full swoop.
Hmm. You know, Schumer talked about having a new tax bracket where it wouldn't just be 250 and above, where you'd have taxes on specifically millionaires. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He said the plan I'm proposing today does not involve smoke and mirrors, phony numbers, financial gimmicks, the usual economic chicanery you usually find in Disneyland on the Potomac. Trump would exempt the value of an individual's principal home from the net worth total. All your other houses he doesn't care about. No. By my calculations, 1% of Americans who control 90% of the wealth in this country would be affected by my plan. He said the other 99% of the people would get deep reductions in their federal income taxes. Eliminating the national debt would save the federal government $200 billion a year in interest payments. He said he proposed to earmark half the savings for middle-class tax cuts and the other half for Social Security. Trump, whose own net worth is estimated at $5 billion, says the wealthy would not suffer if his FNOP plan were enacted. Personally, this plan would cost me hundreds of millions of dollars, but in all honesty, it's worth it. He predicted his debt elimination combined with tax cuts for could trigger a 35 to 40% boost in economic activity with more business startups, more jobs, more prosperity. It's a win-win for the American people, an idea no conventional politician would have the guts to put forward, he said.
Mm-hmm. Great idea. When can we start?
Yeah, and we'll see if he's a conventional politician now.
I have a great idea. Why don't we go back in time and get the 1999 Trump and bring him here using the time machine Obama used to place his birth announcement in the Hawaii newspaper in 1961?
Yes.
Great idea.
Great idea.
Bully.
All right, Bully. 18 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on Libya as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
My bell, these are words that go together well. My
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This portion brought to you by Napa. Napa know-how. You know what I'm talking about. Napa.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the good stuff.
Yeah.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Eric in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eric. Hey,
Hi,
Eric.
Mama.
Hi.
Hey, Mooks.
Word.
Listen, you know, one of the things I wanted to say about the Tea Party, other than I wish somebody would check their birth certificate to see if they were from this planet.
That's an early certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one, John. Do you have an Earth certificate? Please produce it.
Yes. I left mine on Mars.
About them. But they are making an impact, and they're making such an impact that, you know, all of the news channels came out to hear 100 people. They are setting the agenda, and we're not.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. And we set the agenda, like they set the agenda in 2009.
Yeah, Eric, I feel like it killed them to have to cover Madison. You know, it's like at some point you couldn't ignore it,
right?
You know, but like yesterday, I'm just yelling at my TV, pull back, show how pathetic this little smattering actually is. They didn't even photograph so you could see how few people were there. You know, they just, unbelievable. All right, Tom in Santa Fe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, Thomas.
I just want, let's talk about something positive here. We had another month of private sector job gains, plus 200,000. Obama's on pace to add a few million jobs this year. Now, according to the Republicans, he's a socialist Kenyan Muslim, but for some reason, businesses are adding jobs. It's amazing, I tell you.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the anti-business president, and here we have, he's already added more jobs in 2 years than Bush added in eight. Isn't it amazing?
Say it again.
Yep, exactly. Dave in Minneapolis. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama.
Hey, baby.
Two things, one snarky and one serious. Which do you want first?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's Friday. I've lost the will to live.
You don't care. the serious thing is, you know, ours is a country that is just masterful at denial and distraction. We do all this kind of stuff for, you know, that we'll keep us from looking at the issues that are really at hand. And I'm afraid that the whole business of why the tea bakers get all the attention that they do is because we want, in some level, all the sad, unhappy things to go away in our country, the poor, those needing health care, whatever. And we're willing, some of us are just complicit by our silence, to go along with it because it's just so inconvenient to think about. I really hope that's not the case, but that's my fear, that we allow them to run down this path because we either are too weak, too chicken, too something to deal with it. And if we were really all this spiritual, great Christian country we say like to think we are, we'd run into it rather than avoid it.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's what I mean. It's like, are you seriously going to be scared of a bunch of 100, 200 bullies outside?
Well, right. No, and they aren't. I mean, they are afraid of them. They're afraid of not being reelected. They're afraid of having bad press. So, and then the snarky thing I was going to say,
yes,
the shot heard around the world by Michelle Bachmann from this state, unfortunately, was the sound of her husband dropping his makeup kit. So,
no. We don't know what you mean by that.
Yeah, we do.
He's involved in the gay outreach thing. You know, the Ted Haggard.
He also picks out
her pantsuits.
Her pantsuits. So, yeah.
Seriously.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow.
You know, the real thing is, if you want to get more coverage to non-Tea Party events, you've got to find ways to induce the media to come when it's progressives or working people protesting. And, you know, the Tea Party is huge because the liberal media loves to put them on the air. My suggestion, liberals, if you're listening, I know it's still cold in Wisconsin, full nudity. A few, you're gonna have to take one for the team, and let's get them. Even Fox will be all over it.
Come on,
a little cold
for that, I think.
This democracy is worth significant shrinkage. Let's go.
If we can get two Wisconsin hot teachers to hook up with Charlie Sheen, you'll see Fox all over that protest.
That's worth a hard nipple or two.
Hello, Chris. Can I have some some more Newsbusters comedy real quick before we move on? Jim, you know the point of their whole thing is apparently I'm filthy and disgusting because I mentioned that my mom's bird that masturbates to Fox News, which is true. This is by Brutiny, submitted by Brutiny. She probably masturbates the bird, that meaning me. It gives both of them something to do and fulfills their sex lives together, since without each other, they wouldn't have anyone. Of course, the bird has an excuse. It's locked in a cage all alone every day. What's Steffi Boy's reason? See, that's probably kind of like a little anti-gay thing, and also like a little... See, that's funnier and much less dirty that I masturbate the bird. See how Newsbusters shows you how it's done. Okay.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Sad. I'm having
your
some...
Your mom must be so proud of Newsbusters.
There you go. It's your people, Mom. Your people.
Yeah. Is Dennis Miller writing for Newsbusters?
I don't know. Can a website laugh at its own jokes?
All right.
Jackie.
Anne in St. Paul. Hi, Anne.
Hi there. It's Annie. But that's
Annie.
Name.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. Stephanie, I love you.
I love you
all. And Fridays are my favorite day because, God, how I love John.
Oh, the ecclesiastical mook.
Seriously, I was raised as a free Methodist, and, you know, I had to memorize two Bible verses a week. So it's like childhood memories.
And we're trying to rescue the Bible and the flag from the creeps, sugar.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much, sweetie. Listen, first of all, I have two things. I hope you'll let me say them both. I've been waiting for a long time, and I'm not complaining. I just want to give you some breaking news.
All right, go ahead.
Wisconsin Democrats – oh, I'm not whining. Wisconsin Democrats just announced that local activists submitted over 100% of the signatures needed to recall Republican State Senator Dan Kopanky from office.
Awesome.
So now they're going to schedule an election, and this is the first one out of, I hope, many.
Wow,
so
great news.
I wanted to let you know that. Second thing, this has been a burr under my saddle for 2 days now. Do you remember the senator from Illinois who said he had a hard time living on one paycheck?
Yes, $174,000. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, I was watching TV, and Chuck Todd was replacing Chris Matthews and discussing it. Okay, so they go to this guy. They come back to Chuck Todd, and Chuck Todd says, well, you know, he has to have a house in Illinois and one in D.C. You know, I mean, granted, they are underpaid.
Oy vey. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
Thank you. It is
John
the
Kasich, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with Fugle Saying continues. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. David in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
And hi, John and Mooks. We just love all you guys here in Santa Maria, California.
Can we
beg to be the official bagpiping family for the
cool.
Stephanie Miller Show?
Sure.
Sweet.
Sure.
I think I heard you guys when I was living in Santa Barbara.
I remember you people. You are bad neighbors.
I hope we were in tune. Hey, here's the thing about Donald Trump. I had my boys, and we were at the local bowling alley. So we had to watch the Fox News Channel for a little while, and it was O'Reilly with Trump. And then, so I had to explain to him, my boys, now this guy is a industrialist and a rich guy, and he's arrogant. And so he says to the country, I'm building all these skyscrapers, and I can't find glass, so I have to go to China. Well, from my point of view, if he's a big rich guy and he sets himself up as the boss in his TV show and all that stuff, like, you're fired, you know, why doesn't he invest in the country and become a glassmaker and go over to some impoverished place of our East Coast in an industrial situation and glassmaker, okay, and invest in this country? So that's why I have to explain to my boys, here's a guy who wants to be the boss and then take it somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, so, well, exactly. Yep, exactly. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Dennis in South Carolina. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, guys. I hate to be the conservative to bring down the show on a Friday, but...
That's okay.
You are the official conservative to bring down the show on a Friday. Hello.
That's right. I just want to make a point. Your guy is proposing a 3.7 monstrosity of a budget, and all we're asking for is $61 billion in cuts, and you're labeling us
all,
as extreme...
All you're asking for? That's
well,
a lot of cuts, and a lot of economists
and
think
it's
exactly the wrong thing to do when the economy is in the state it's in right now.
Plus, that's not all that you're asking for. You guys already got Bush's tax cuts extended after Bush planned for them to expire in 2010. You can't complain about a deficit when you're going to keep people who can easily afford a slight tax hike from paying it.
Well,
you can't complain about a deficit.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Okay, those tax cuts actually worked. George Bush is
unemployed. They worked. They worked to get us to this deficit.
At creating jobs?
Let me finish.
Please.
His unemployment average for 8 years was 5.3%.
Oh, yeah, the average thing. Right.
Well,
right,
I mean,
but then what happened? But what happened by the time Bush left office, sir? We were losing 700,000 jobs per month. It didn't work.
That's because of the mortgage crisis. That has
that's how why we're losing jobs.
Right.
Huh?
And it had nothing to do with Iraq. It was just a few minorities getting loaned money to buy houses.
In my opinion,
afford.
That was a big talking point, Musakusa.
Musakusa?
Yeah, I had some Musakusa leftovers.
What's a Musakusa?
You mean Musaka?
The guy from Libya.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Yes.
Musakusa. He's good. Okay.
Did you mean
Musakusa? It's like couscous, but it has moose in it. Okay. It's the guy that defected. Come on, keep up with current events. You're a producer of a nationally syndicated radio show, Chris LaVoy. All right. I just liked his name. Hello. I am Musakusa.
I'm Lucy.
That's
Cousy.
An awesome name. Can I tell you something? When I was in Haiti, I the sergeant who was taking me around the island said that when he was in Iraq, they actually once picked up a guy whose name was Muthar Fukar.
That's awesome. Okay. Libya's rebels will agree to a ceasefire if Gaddafi pulls his military forces out of cities and allows peaceful protests against his regime, an opposition leader said today. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, if my
says no.
Uncle had boobs, he'd be my aunt.
Thank you, Jim.
He takes more than boobs, though.
That's what Gaddafi
said.
Yeah, it
would.
I think it's loosely translated. Gaddafi's losses this week, of course, not military but political, two members of his inner circle, including the aforementioned...
Musakusa.
See? You like saying it, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you glad I brought it up?
Sure. Well, I don't like it that much.
All right, setting off speculation about who might be next. Gaddafi, I love this. He's 10 kinds of crazy.
Yeah.
Watching him and Michelle Bachmann, I'm like, I don't know who's crazier. He struck a defiant stance in a statement saying he's not the one who should go. It's Western leaders who are attacking his military with airstrikes who should resign immediately. Gaddafi's message was undercut by its delivery. He scrolled across the bottom of state TV as he remained out of sight. So the White House said the strongman's inner circle was clearly crumbling with the loss of...
Musakusa.
who flew from Tunisia to England on a Wednesday. Kusa is privy to all the inner workings of the regime, so his departure could lead to hard intelligence, is what they're saying.
I'm sorry. With a name like Musakusa, you were only qualified to run the UN.
Right.
That's Boutros territory. Talking
to you, Tunt.
The president's a carny.
But what I won't talk about is intelligence matters or specific intelligence operations. It cannot be done.
What? Why not? Why can't we know what the CIA is doing?
Get Reuters to stop reporting it.
Well, is anybody shocked that the CIA is on the ground?
What?
There?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What?
What?
CIA? Getting intelligence?
There's a really bad Muslim leader in the Arab world, and so the CIA's there arming a bunch of religious fanatics fighting him. What could ever possibly go on?
Gates, though.
Situation normal.
Yeah, Robert Gates
is like cloning Osama.
Said something interesting yesterday. He was saying that it shouldn't be us that arms and trains the rebels. He said, asked whether this might mean U.S. boots on the ground. He said, not while I'm in this job, which is pretty unequivocal. Yeah. Robert Gates yesterday, defense secretary.
We've tried regime change before, and sometimes it's worked, and sometimes it's taken 10 years.
Yeah. The last time somebody used that phrase, not so much.
Mm-hmm. And that was a guy who campaigned against nation building.
Yeah. Representative Mike Kaufman, Republican of Colorado.
To say this is not about regime change is crazy. Of course this is about regime change.
Yeah. Well, John, as you said earlier, this is tricky. So anyone that knows exactly what's going to happen in Libya.
It's very tricky. You know what? And it's I'm here, again, to be Jimmy Carter and bring peace between you and your mooks, Steph, because it's broken your listeners' heart hearing all this rancor this week. And I think we can
agree. Screw them!
No one knows anything yet. No one knows anything about what's going on here yet and what's going to happen. Again, Bishop Desmond Tutu himself supported these airstrikes, okay? Gaddafi's a monster. He's oppressing people. And it's great the UN could finally decide that he's kind of a douche after 40 years of human rights violations. However, at the same time, America's learned when we play the enemy of my enemy must be my friend in the Middle East, we get Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. So, you know, step by step, turn these bombings over to NATO as soon as possible and hope
that's,
for the
which
best,
is what they've done. Robert Gates again yesterday.
There will be no American boots on the ground in Libya. Deposing the Gaddafi regime, as welcome as that eventuality would be, is not part of the military mission.
No, there'd be boots made in China worn by Americans.
Yeah. Technically, if you want to be a stickler. Representative Adam Smith of the great state of Washington.
Militarily, putting U.S. or NATO boots on the ground in Libya to overthrow Gaddafi would have far too great a cost.
And then Lindsey Graham questioning Robert Gates yesterday as well.
Would it be unlawful for some nation, including ours, to drop a bomb on him to end this thing? Is that on the table or not?
I don't think so, because I think it would probably break the coalition.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so, meaning if one accidentally lands on him.
Aren't we dropping bombs on him?
Aren't Tomahawk missiles bombs?
Yeah.
Technically?
Well, they blow up.
Like Jim says, sometimes accidents happen.
All right.
Some guys get chatty and they fall down the 8 flights of stairs with a knife in their back.
Sometimes crazy guys get blown up by accident.
Cleaning his knife, went up in his back 17 times. Bomb fell off a truck.
Karl Rove called President Obama irresolute, weak, and unreliable, even when doing the right thing on Libya. Mm. So he's doing it right, but just in all entirely the wrong way.
And he'd rather have Obama do it the George Bush way?
Jim, what's that question that always pops to our mind about Karl Rove?
Why isn't he in prison selling cigarettes for his life?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Rand Paul in a moment of clarity again this week. John, as you said, it's like you kind of go, yes, yes, what the hell? Like, he'll say three things, you're like, yes, and then you're like, oh, my God, no, you're completely... But he was talking about... He was, like, told the truth accidentally about Fox News, that they're trying to figure out how they can be for bombing but against the president.
Right.
They're for bombing the Middle East, but how can this be bad?
Well, in that sense, Newt Gingrich has been completely consistent on this, as long as he's against Obama.
Yeah, exactly. As U.S. debates future participation in the Libyan conflict, defense officials slam the brakes on major American roles. Gates and also Mullen, what's his name? Mike Mullen.
Yes, Admiral Mike Mullen.
Mm-hmm. They both said if the rebels are to get arms and training, countries other than the U.S. should provide that assistance. Let's see. Gates said, my view is if there's going to be that kind of training, there are plenty of sources for it other than the United States. I did see today they suddenly have new satellite radios and things. Huh. Certain things have magically appeared in the rebels' hands. I don't know how that happened.
Somebody is helping them out in some way.
Yes.
I just hope we're very careful about that.
Oh, what could possibly go wrong?
All right. Let's see. What's the one other Libya headline before we go? I don't know. You know what? I've lost interest now that it doesn't involve Moussa Koussa.
Is that like couscous that's been whipped up into a mousse?
Yes.
That sounds kind of gross and bland.
Yeah. It's couscous with some sort of chocolate mousse in it.
So it's kind of like couscous, but hummus-y.
It's a dessert couscous.
Well, let's know. Moutar. I can't even say it. No.
Okay, don't. No. Jim Louise, don't.
Hummus mousse.
Hummus mousse.
All right. I don't know. I was hoping for some Moussa Koussa fun facts. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Who said this, Gates? I'm preoccupied with avoiding mission creep, Gates said, and avoiding having an open and very large-scale American commitment. We know about Afghanistan. We know about Iraq. So, you know, at least, John, I feel like we have people in charge that are aware of what's happened in the recent past and how to avoid that. So, all right. 45 minutes after the hour, we have Right Wing World. We have much more. We have Representative Alan Grayson coming up.
What?
Celebrity Steph.
He's
back? We got stuff going on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. All those scamps in the live blog.
In the chat room.
Chat room at StephanieMiller.com.
Yes, Eric Inney says, I use Moussa Koussa in my hair in the 80s. Fantastic hold.
Oh, absolutely. Anna in Tennessee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you. And a happy Moussa Koussa to you.
And thank you. Happy Moussa Koussa to you. And I just wanted to share a couscous story with you.
Oh, well, by all means, you can't get enough
another
of those.
One.
Thank you. I had a friend from Turkey. We were discussing food, and I asked him if he ate couscous. He turned bright red and said, excuse me?
That means something else, huh?
Do you eat couscous? And he said, you cannot say that. Why not? Because it is a lady's... And so you pronounce it couscous.
Oh, well, I eat okay. both. All right.
Oh,
let's, what?
Wow.
I don't know
I can't
what
get
I know.
Enough.
Wow.
Christy.
That could cause an international incident.
Christy in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I have to say, first of all, I think everybody at my job thinks that I'm insane because I sit here giggling all morning with my earphones in. So,
Good girl.
Thank you for that.
All right.
But I just wanted to make a comment, actually, to the gentleman earlier that was offended by calling the Tea Party tea baggers. I think that's quite funny, considering they called themselves tea bag before
they
realized what it meant.
Yes, that's the big joke, is we are just respecting their original intent.
That's right.
Again, we're constitutionalists.
It's not homophobic, it's homoerotic.
You can research it by going to National Review online. There it is.
Thank
you.
Is
there a centerfold?
No.
Billy, my right-wing love muffin in Texas. Hi, Billy.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Listen, I was going to speak to that same caller or comment on Isaac's call, I think his name was.
Uh-huh.
Who said he listens to left-leaning radio and conservative radio, too. Now, what he
You listen because I give you free pro-flowers, right?
Oh, I just listen because you're hot. But the reason...
Well, she is kind of hot.
What he does... Let me get through this. What he doesn't get yet is that y'all use the term teabag, and you mock people that don't agree
we
with
are,
you.
We are constitutionalists. We are going with their original intent.
No. We just stop. In order to disparage them, in order to marginalize them, in order to defeat them and promote your evil agenda. Now, what he's going to find, laugh your butts off if you want, but what he's going to find out.
Because they wouldn't do that, right?
Is the reason to listen to left-leaning radio is to validate every reason that I'm conservative.
Well, good.
What is conservative about the Tea Party?
Billy, I don't care why you listen. I love you.
I love you back.
All right, goodbye.
Okay. You know what? We'll stop calling them teabaggers when they start calling us the Democrat
when they
Party.
Stop teabagging us.
How about stop calling it Obamacare, okay?
Yeah.
And then we'll
yeah.
stop
That's
calling
a pejorative.
It teabaggers.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And by the way, every day you guys call it Obamacare, we're going to call Social Security FDR care, we're going to call Medicaid LBJ care, and we're going to call joblessness Bush care.
There you go.
Perfect.
All right, speaking of my right-wing love muffins, it's Art in Chicago, everybody. Hi,
hey.
Art.
Good morning. This is no April Fool joke, but we teabaggers in Chicago, we have embraced Rahm Emanuel.
Right on.
We did. We love him. The well, first thing he's going to do, he wants to cut the council members from 51 to 25. He'll save over a couple million dollars. They get $150,000 plus 13. So he's going to cut them down from 51 to 25. We love that. Number two, he found out that the truck drivers in Chicago unionized. They make $90,000 a year, and that's all they do is drive the people to work, sit there, read a book for 8 hours, and go back. He said he's going to cut that out. And number two, he says he's going to negotiate with the union only on money, not on conditions of work as other. And that's what he's going to do, that $90,000 a year. Can you imagine that?
So,
and
are, wow, are you a Rahm Emanuel fan now?
You better believe it.
Okay.
It's almost as crazy as a CEO making 500 times what an employee makes.
I'll push him for president.
All right. Okay.
He's watching for his taxpayers. That's what us teabaggers for.
Okay. All right. I don't know, have any idea if any of that's true, by cracky, but all right.
If you support the taxpayers, why would you ever vote for Republicans?
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we? Chris, you know why I left him on that long. I was waiting for a bi-cracky.
Bi-cracky?
Bi-cracky, young lady! I would appreciate your tone!
I wonder if Art's ever been teabagged.
Stop it.
What?
Not on your best day.
All right. Mark Stein on Cavuto on the president.
I think there are circumstances in which Obama might well conclude this is a one-term presidency. A lot can happen in the next...
That he would conclude that?
I don't think that's entirely beyond the bounds of possibility.
He seems to be revving up.
Well, I don't get the sense he enjoys the job. I think that's one reason he's not in these debates, is he comes over like some constitutional monarch, that he's quite happy going on a ceremonial visit to Brazil. He's not actually quite so happy setting the political direction of the United States.
With my deep understanding of your American system, having been born here and lived here all my life.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great hearing a British accent mocking monarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no idea Mike Malloy was British. But.
Bill Kristol on the Brit Beer.
We had cheap oil basically from President cheap energy from President Reagan's deregulation for 20, 25 years. And good economic growth in the U.S. and around the world.
What?
India and China do not make it these incredible leaps. That doesn't happen without cheap and plentiful energy. That should be the goal. Not all this green energy, not fanciful talk about windmills. Let's produce. Ooh. There's plenty of natural gas. There's a lot of oil. It needs to be developed and produced.
Oh, yeah. And when was he ever wrong about anything?
Look at us tilting at windmills.
They're fanciful, like unicorns. They don't actually exist.
They're not even what?
We need more coal dust in the air.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
radiation. That trickle down's going to work any second now. Remember
poisonous
that? How
cracked groundwater.
Mm-hmm. Right, that was okay. Mm-hmm. Michelle Malkin on Oxen.
This is the case with so many of these green radicals, whether it's Obama or his energy secretary, Stephen Chu.
Oh, yeah.
Their modus operandi for getting people to change their behavior is to force them to do so.
No.
And in addition to the futility of that kind of social engineering strategy, of course, is the fact that this administration has worked very, very hard to stifle jobs and innovation.
Uh-huh. Sure.
She is brilliant,
green
as my
technology.
Mom says.
There's no innovation involved in green technology.
Stephen Chu, that green radical, he's like the green, jolly green giant of environmentalism. He's crazy with his Nobel Prize. And his...
So she's saying Obama wants to bring about green changes through social engineering. Well, how about that President Bush outlawing incandescent light bulbs?
Mm-hmm.
He did sign that into law.
That's because he was a green radical.
A green radical.
Unlike Boner, who is, of course,
an orange
radical. Okay, I had to get to that. You know. Okay, Gretchen Carlson on the Fox and Freaks.
It's emblematic of this president. People say that he seems to say one thing, see how people react, and then sometimes change it.
What? You mean he sometimes reacts to changing conditions?
He adapts.
Actually listens to the will of the people.
That's almost like evolution, which of course is fanciful, like windmills.
Like windmills.
Gretchen Carlson thinks.
And unicorns.
Thinks it's fanciful.
Yeah. Huh. Read my lips.
All right, Karl Rove.
The right-wing base of the Republican Party, I'm part of that right-wing base,
is not in love with the issue of birthers. I mean, there is an element inside the Republican Party and outside the Republican Party that's fallen in love with this, but the vast majority of Republicans and the vast majority of Americans accept that he's a U.S. citizen and capable of being president. Barack Obama wants Republicans to fall into this trap because he knows it discredits us with the vast majority of the American people when we do.
Trump is a Obama plant, have you heard?
Aha!
Alan Grayson next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Just bitching about our infrastructure during the break. 6 minutes after the hour, Jim's been looking at how delightful the roads are in Germany.
Watching Spiegel online about green energy technologies in Germany, and they're way, way ahead of us, by the way. They're going to on the way to decommissioning nuclear plants. Anyway.
And Chris and I were just talking about the cavernous crater that's at the end of my street, and that someone's put sandbags there to try to even it out, and now that's worn down. And that's how we do infrastructure here.
Yeah, they showed someone driving on a mountain road in Germany. Like, oh, I remember those. They're completely perfect.
You almost thought you bent your rims on where, the 101?
No, it's just the off-ramp. I think it's the Coinga off-ramp going south in the 101, and there was a big truck in front of me, so I didn't see it. So I hit this pothole. Bam! You know, I was sure my wheel was going to fall off. It was.
Meanwhile, several Republican senators take credit for infrastructure funding they voted against.
Oh, no.
The House Republican plan, of course, includes many economically counterproductive cuts. Tiger 2, with Tiger Blood. It's designed to deliver competitive grants to states for high-needed infrastructure projects.
High-need projects?
No, high-need.
Oh, must you?
Three Republican senators now taking credit for that grant to rebuild the Memorial Bridge that was provided under the Tiger II program that they voted to cut, ladies and gentlemen. That's right.
Yes.
Oh, how did I know Art was wrong? Let me just clear this up real quick.
Art was wrong, but
Stephanie,
that's never happened.
Stephanie in Illinois. Hi, Steph. Yes, Steph. Stephanie.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. I'm really gonna have to get my pooper scooper and my fire extinguisher out for this one. The guy who says they're making $90,000 truck drivers. My husband works for the city of Chicago as a truck driver. They make the ones who've been there 10 years make 50.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yes. Art said they make $90,000 a year to sit there and read a book.
I make $900,000 a minute. Bye, Cracky.
All right. Thank you, Steph. I appreciate it. Mike in Chicago, Art's wrong call number two. Hello, Mike. Hey, Mike. All right. You know what?
On trap.
Listen, I don't have time for you because I just saw someone pop up on my line that I've been waiting for.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
God, I've missed you so much.
I've missed you, too. Are you still funny?
Not as funny as Anthony Weiner.
Listen, it's, you know, I wish you were still a congressman, and then I'd have something to be funny about and something to be happy about.
Well, I see you're still perking.
Oh, former Congressman Alan Grayson, I see you on the MSNBC, and I just miss you so much in Congress, but thank God you're still speaking out and fighting the good fight.
Yes, right now from an undisclosed location.
Yeah. Congressman, I got to get your take before we get to some other stuff. We finally this morning, you probably saw my friend Ed Schultz last night was talking about this budget battle, and that's why I so miss fighters like you and Russ Feingold, and I'm like, how did we somehow negotiate our way to $33 billion? What? I mean, there's 100 teabaggers outside the Capitol yesterday. Why
we surrender.
Why do the Democrats, we still control the White House and the Senate, and yet, here we are again, right?
I don't know why.
Well, I mean, but this is the problem. Then people will go, yes, but, people like Alan Grayson lost. Well, as you said, it's because people didn't turn out to vote. And now they're having, I think, a record case of buyer's remorse, aren't they?
Well, in Florida, our illustrious governor in the latest polls, if the election were held today, would lose by 19 points.
Yep.
and he's only been in office for 3 months. He can work on that. I think he can get all the way up to 150 points. He can lose by 150 points if he keeps going the way he's going.
Well, I mean, it's kind of happy and sad at the same time, isn't it? That you, I mean, it's, you're absolutely right. It's the same with Walker and Kasich, and you look at all these guys. I mean, literally, I've never seen this in politics. Have you? This quick a case of buyer's remorse. Literally, all these elections, if they were held today, these guys would lose.
Well, in our case, people really should have known better. I mean, Rick Scott made his fortune by cheating sick people.
Well, it, by the way, explain that.
$1 million
explain that.
The governor's office. He was the head of HCA. HCA was the Hospital Corporation of America. It cheated the government out of almost $2 billion under the Medicare program. It was the largest cheating against the government in the Medicare program in history.
Yep.
He was the president when it happened. The board of directors fired him, but America being America and corporate America being corporate America, they let him keep $200 million in stock options when he left. So he took $70 million of that money and spent it to buy the governor's mansion in Florida, you know, beat a career politician running in the Republican primary who nobody particularly liked. And then in November, you know, he won because he was the Republican. I mean, you could have elected a ham sandwich to office if it was an R next to its name in November. It was that bad in Florida. In general, statewide, the Democrats lost by 18 points.
Yep. Well, I mean, it is, and as you said, I think, yesterday on MSNBC, this is someone unfit to be governor. He's unfit for any job, and yet, you know, and now look what he's doing. As you said,
he, in his deposition, he pled the fifth 75 times.
Wow. And now, I love this. So his new plan is to drug test public employees and welfare recipients for the benefit of his own drug testing company.
That's right. He runs a chain of health clinics called Solantic. And, you know, to avoid any conflict of interest, he transferred the ownership of that company to his wife in January.
Yeah. That's clever.
And what Solantic does, among other things, primarily is drug testing. So he's going to force all welfare recipients and all public employees at their own expense to go to Solantic and get drug tested so that he can make more money. He put $75 million into this, and he wants a return on his investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not only that, but he zeroed out health clinics, public health clinics, all through the state of Florida. We have 4 million people in Florida who can't see a doctor when they're sick. They have no health coverage. They have to go to a public health clinic. He is proposing to eliminate all public health clinics in the entire state so that people will be forced to go to his clinics and pay.
Wow.
You you made a very good point on MSNBC yesterday that it's a good thing that he doesn't have proctological clinics.
Right, then we'd all
I think
have
that's
to bend over.
What his governorship is.
And cough.
Yeah. So, Congressman, this is just such a, you know, we were saying that a lot of what's happening, in my opinion, in politics now, it's like this holy middle, the center, the independence. That's why we have to, you know, do all this negotiating and et cetera. But, I mean, do you agree with me with what's happening with this budget fight now? Is you can look at the Tea Party's ratings, you can see the 100 or 200 people outside, and we're going, what? So now we've negotiated to this point because of fear of these people, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's the wrong way for Democrats to look at it. But I also have a little bit of a different perspective, which is just between you and me. Okay, I mean,
okay.
Let's leave out the listeners now. I was wondering during the election and afterward what the Republicans actually meant when they said they were going to cut the budget, because, you know, the reason why we're running a deficit is because the economy is flat on its back, and the deficit is the only thing that's actually keeping the economy going. It's the only thing that's keeping unemployment from reaching 15% nationwide. So I was actually wondering, waiting to see what they would say. The deficit this year is $1.7 trillion with a T.
Right.
The Republicans want to cut the deficit by $60 billion with a B. So that leaves $1.64 trillion of deficit completely untouched. And this actually confirms what I saw when I was in Congress for 2 years, which is that the Republicans don't have any answers. If they did have a solution to the deficit, they would have proposed it. Instead, they propose very painful cuts, and these are painful, painful cuts. They cut the things that the people in need in order to survive.
And that are, as you say,
that they do nothing serious to cut the deficit.
Well, exactly, and we all know what would be serious, and that's the Bush tax cut, letting the Bush tax cuts expire. I mean, it must have been so frustrating for you trying to actually get this done. Just watching it's so frustrating.
The Republicans' proposed tax cuts are $60 billion. The tax cuts for the rich that they insisted on as a price for letting the middle class have any tax cuts at all were $70 billion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't, I mean, so anyway, what's going to happen with this? I mean, obviously, you know, the teabaggers yesterday were shouting, cut it or shut it, meaning, you know, Mike Pence said, yeah, let's shut it down, the government, and yet they're going to say it's the Democrats' fault.
Well, Democrats have to fight back. The Republicans have created an enormous propaganda machine to the point where they want to shut down the government and they want to blame the Democrats for them shutting down the government. This is how bad it's gotten. And, you know, the only way to fight that is to just tell the truth.
I love that they're even, I think I heard a Tea Party guy on TV yesterday calling it a slowdown. It's a government slowdown. No, it's not a government slowdown. It's a government shutdown. And in this economy, people are going to get hurt badly if that happens.
Yeah, if you call 911 and there's no answer, that's not a government slowdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is the game they're playing. Hannity starts his show yesterday by condemning Democrats for rooting for a showdown. You know, he attacked Schumer and those on the left for not wanting to engage in honest negotiation. And then less than an hour later, he himself appeared to be rooting for a shutdown. Greta Van Susteren was teasing her upcoming show. She mentioned some members of Congress think a shutdown may not be a bad idea. Hannity said, shut it down, time for a fight, shut it down. I mean, sometimes they slip, don't they?
I'd love to be a fly on the wall at those 11 o'clock meetings that Roger Ailes has over at Fox when they come up with the lie of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, but again, you know, once in a while they slip, you know, whether it's, look at what's happening in Wisconsin, you know. I mean, the Republican guy goes on Fox News and kind of slips because he's among friends and says, yeah, this is about Obama not getting elected in Wisconsin mm-hmm. next time. It's all this is about. Nothing to do with the budget.
Well, that's the problem when you lie. It's people find out. You get caught up in your own lies.
Yeah.
You tell the truth, you're completely consistent. If you tell a lie, you're going to get caught up in it.
Well, having been in Congress, Alan, how do you see this playing out?
Well, I can only speak for myself. I'm going to continue to send out my communiques from former Yugoslavia. I don't mean from a location in former Yugoslavia. I actually mean from former Yugoslavia, which is completely immune to any attack because it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
MSNBC will continue to run them as a crawl across the bottom of the screen.
Well, you know, was it Ed Koch that said the people have spoken and now they're going to be punished for it?
That's right.
Which
that's
is exactly what yeah, what's happening now. And at least people are waking up, but man, it's, you know, if these recalls happen like they look like they're going to in Wisconsin, I mean, I've just never seen this in my political life.
I don't know how the state of Florida is going to get through 3 years and 9 months more of the reign of the Mad King Rick. I don't know how that's going to even be possible.
Yeah.
There's going to be so much pain, so much turmoil, so much regret. And so much horror that one person can do that much damage. You know, I can't think of any other country in the world, literally, I can't think of any other country in the world where they elect people to run the government who want to destroy the government.
Yep.
In other countries, it would be called sedition. And here, it's called the right wing.
The biggest thing missing in America today, and that is Congressman Alan Grayson. I'm going to have to come up with a new title. Can I make you a czar of the Stephanie Miller Show something?
Oh, I'd love that. But I'm an even bigger fan of you.
Aww.
Who could turn the world on with her smile? Who can make a nothing day and suddenly make it seem all worthwhile?
Sure.
Or
make it seem less like a crap fest. Anyway, former Congressman Alan Grayson, I love you, honey. Please come back again. It's been too long.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes.
Wow.
I love him.
Someone in the chat room says, nobody does laconic like Alan
Grayson.
That's
awesome. See, that's why I love him on TV, because I just keep watching that one impish eyebrow go up. 19 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Bugle Slang, Celebrity Stack, and much more. Oh, wait till you hear who's playing John Gotti.
What?
You'll be surprised. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Oh my. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. People across the country will gather on April 4th for a day of action in support of workers. Learn more about events in your community at aprildayofaction.com.
Sweet.
Ruth and... Oh, I lost her now.
Uh-oh.
My phone thing is broken.
Yeah, it's been broken all morning long.
I got some... I spilled some moussakoussa on it when I was eating earlier.
Yeah. Everything in this room that's computery went kablooey this morning.
Yeah, it did.
So...
Spling!
Yeah.
It's a no-fly zone entirely in here this morning.
Well, if you'd left your moussakoussa out any longer, it'd be full of flies. Any länger. I'm speaking right. German because I'm looking at a German website. Right now.
All right. Wow. It's our new fixation, the moussakoussa. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, this is the breaking news. Guess who's playing John Gotti? John Travolta.
Mr. Carter.
Hmm?
You're going to get whacked, Mr. Carter.
In the indie film Gotti, Three Generations.
Up your nose with a rubber hose, literally.
Not that Travolta version. Needs it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's, here's what I... can I just say on the Yahoo, Chris, I've mentioned this. The commenters, they're not really that bright.
Commenters, period, really aren't that bright.
Yeah. First person right, for shame, John Travolta. He lives in La La Land, if you ask me. I don't think people get that he's an actor. He's not actually in the mafia.
Yeah.
Shoot. Huh. So no one's ever allowed to play Richard III anymore because he was not a nice guy in the
play. Yes. Mm. I told you my 88-year-old Republican mom's Republican best friend, Becky, when last time I was on, not this past time, the time before, somehow Hairspray came up, and she goes, "It hurts my heart to John Travolta play the woman."
It hurts her heart.
Oh, my heart. I didn't even want to get into that whole... I don't really even know what it was, kind of a homophobic bouillabaisse something. I don't know what that was all about. I was like, yeah, he's not actually a woman.
Yeah.
Becky, just he's in case
playing a role.
There's a lot of
guys. Not actually in the mafia.
A lot of guys who played Hitler. And I'm guessing none of them are actually Nazis.
They're not actually Hitler? Really?
You know, and back in Shakespeare's days.
A lot of people are confused by acting.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, is John Fugelsang there?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. I thought we had made the line to New York go kablooey as well.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Too busy protesting John Travolta playing a bad person.
Yeah.
Actually, I played Hitler twice.
You have?
How could James Earl Jones
and
be
you're
the voice
not,
of Darth Vader?
You're not a Nazi? Wow. Okay. Way to go, Yahoo posters. That's okay. Shame on you, John Travolta. Playing a bad person. Okay. Wow. This is when you know that my career has really hit rock bottom, Jim. Do I have a TV show?
Computer says no.
Does 89-year-old Betty White? Yes, she does. She
yes.
Yes. Never too late for her. The unstoppable Betty White taking on reality TV with a hidden camera show that turns senior citizens into merry pranksters. NBC has ordered Betty White's off their rockers. It follows a 7 seniors who band together to play pranks on younger people, with the White helping to conspire to put one over on the unsuspecting youth of America.
Nice.
According to NBC.
There's a lot of unsuspecting youth of America.
they're all unsuspecting because we cut all the education funding.
Yeah, exactly.
It's worth pointing out that Rutgers University is paying Snooki $32,000 to speak there, and they're paying Toni Morrison $30,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's what's wrong with America right there,
really
John.
Is.
There it is.
Any
that's what's wrong
kids?
With America.
This is your empire collapsing.
Why does anyone even know who the hell Snooki is? I mean, that's just...
By the way... MTV needs to dance on rock's grave, Jim.
Here's another example of what's wrong with America. Charlie Sheen's Violent Torpedo of Truth tour kicks off Saturday, tomorrow in Detroit.
Yep.
It's John, you know, but you've spent some time working at your craft as a comedian. Ooh, this is
it's a violent torpedo.
Haven't we already seen this show?
I suspect that torpedo is going to be a dud.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also Charlie Sheen's on-stage debut.
5,000.
It's always great.
Yeah, it's a 5,000-seat venue. Right now, 1,250 seats at least are available on StubHub.com. Oh. Resale prices are as low as $21, half the face value of some of the tickets. That's winning. Duh.
Winning.
And April 12th, he's going to make an appearance during the premiere week of Drew Carey's Improvaganza primetime series on the Game Show Network, in case you can't get enough of Charlie.
It's great that he's making his stage debut in such a public way.
And all the tiger's blood you can drink.
Yes, exactly. All right, and the last one, delisted writing Katie Holmes can't say penis.
Yeah, but this is kind of a creepy story, actually.
Yeah. Well, delisted, hopefully, writing. Does anyone ever think maybe Katie has no idea what a penis looks like? It's not like she runs into them all the time in her daily life.
Y'all are mean.
I bet one of her handlers had to pull her aside and give her the talk right there. It's an honest mistake.
Your thetans are unhealthy if you're making jokes like that.
She was talking about the Kennedys miniseries, which we're going to talk about with Robin O'Carrion after I was on Reels channel where it's going to air talking about it.
That's right.
Yes, yeah. Which little air this weekend. But anyway, she plays Jackie.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the nonfiction version.
Hmm. Katie Holmes, she brought up the paparazzi picture of Suri Cruz holding a box of penis gummies.
Yeah, what the... Who green-lighted that?
I'll explain that in a minute, and then we'll talk to Robin Abkarian next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
When you open the door, will your mystery date be a dream or a dud?
Oh! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour.
I just suddenly thought of incredible edibles and felt a little ill.
Mm. Ooh, yum.
Ooh, you brought me penis gummies. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What? Okay, well, there was a picture of Suri Cruz holding a box of penis gummies. That's what we're... talking, which she brought up on the Ellen Show promoting the Kennedy miniseries. She said she thought they were Swedish fish.
No wonder she...
Yeah, fish looks very different from penis.
How would she know?
The Swedes should be so lucky.
She said that she took her to Serendipity in New York. It's an ice cream thing for kids that probably costs like $1 billion in ice cream.
Yeah, pedophiles all over the country suddenly soil themselves.
Yes. Wow. She said that we go in and we're waiting for a table and she grabs some gummies that are Boy Park gummies. I was horrified. They are called P-E-N-I-S gummies. She actually spelled it out.
She spelled it out?
Yeah.
I love Delisted writes, Katie lets Suri wear high heels and takes her out at midnight, yet she doesn't want her to hear the word penis. All right, I'm just saying. There you go.
Well, I hope she doesn't ever see Born in the 4th of July then, because Daddy has the best utterance of that word in history. You remember the scene when he confronts his mom in Born in the 4th of July?
No.
Penis, Mom, penis! It's a great movie, by the way. Tom Cruise's best movie.
Well, she probably hasn't had the talk yet with Daddy.
Well,
all right.
You want to get, Chris, you want to get the soundbite of Tom Cruise saying that from that film for next week. You will not be sorry. You will play it forever on this particular show.
That's what we're afraid of. All right. Now, speaking of the Kennedy miniseries, remember it didn't air on the History Channel, but the Reels channel is going to air it, and I did Hollywood Uncensored. And it will air, let's see, oh dear God, it's going to air 1,000 times. This Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, and then it repeats 17,000 times. We put that up on our Facebook page.
That's right.
Yes. And I was on there. It's Sam Rubin's show, my good friend from KTLA. And I was on there with the lovely and talented, my favorite writer ever from the LA Times, Robin Abkarian.
Yay!
Good morning.
Good morning, Robin. It was, you know that I suck up to you all the time because you are indeed my favorite writer from the LA Times.
And I suck up to you in return.
Well, and we both had to endure being on with the actress that played Marilyn Monroe.
Oh my God.
Who was just startlingly beautiful.
Yeah.
And
it was very disturbing.
Yes. And so we clung to each other.
With Jim Murray in the middle.
Yes, from Inside Edition, who was also great. But yeah, it was actually really fun, right?
Yeah, I had a good time. It was, it's always fun to dish about the Kennedys. They're such good material. And this miniseries actually is a lot of fun, I think.
Well, I think the acting's really good, but you actually, because you're a brilliant writer, had the best line. You said, you know, it's a warts and all telling of it, but they gloried in the warts.
Mm-hmm. And who doesn't?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty salacious. But, I mean, we know the story, and it just seems like there's not that much more to reveal about the Kennedy presidency. I mean, maybe someday there'll be some trove of, I don't know, something they discover. But don't we all know the basic outlines? I think you said there were no big surprises. So
right.
Just filling in the personal sort of, you know, human stuff, how Jackie reacted to the infidelities, how mad Sam Giancana was when Bobby went after him as Attorney General, even though he delivered Chicago for JFK, thanks to Joe Sr., you know, all these kind of amazing things.
Well, I mean, you know, I think what I was saying is just, I think the History Channel made the right choice because it's not history. It was a very sort of over-the-top, like very tabloidized version, which, as you say, it's fine. I think it's perfect for an entertainment channel, but I understand why the History Channel didn't want to...
Well, I mean, it adds really... I think in some ways to the interest because you know that Caroline Kennedy and Maria Shriver and others and historians that are associated with the Kennedy family and Ted Sorensen lobbied the people that they knew at the networks or on the boards of the networks or, you know, these connections between media companies and were able to, you know, get the plug pulled by the History Channel. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. For one thing, it gives a little whiff of scandal to the project. It makes people more interested. And then I guess it's good for Reels, which is just, you know, starting to get off the ground.
Well, yeah, and I think it sounds like from the clips I've seen, too. I mean, the acting's really good. I love Greg Kinnear. I think our actress friend, I'm spacing on her name now.
Charlotte Sullivan?
Yes, who played Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
I thought was great. And so I think for all the actors that worked so hard on, I'm glad it's going to actually air.
Yeah.
But
Tom Wilkinson is so good as JFK's father. He's just such an awesome actor.
Well, you know, I think the larger point I guess I was trying to make is, as a liberal, I can't help but say, look, this is a family that was beloved, that inspired generations, that, you know, despite their flaws, I mean, yeah, they had flaws, but they didn't have to give their lives to public service is the point.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Best,
you know,
kind of class traitors.
Yeah, I, as a reporter, as a journalist who covers these people, look at them as always, always deeply flawed. Even when they're, you know, working, doing altruistic things, they didn't have to give their lives to public service, but they did sort of in some kind of larger symbolic way have to make up for the fact that Joe Sr. made his money, you know, during Prohibition, illegally running rum or whiskey or whatever. So, you know, they had this sort of stain on their family that they had to get rid of, and public service is the way to do it. Yeah, they came to a tragic end, certainly, but I think there is something noble about public service, and I mean, they did something that served them as well as served the country.
Well, I think they did have obviously such great gifts, and yet you're right, such great tragedies. I mean, I was talking about on the show that, you know, Barack Obama, I think that's what was, you know, so inspired a lot of us about him is, I just remember that speech when Ted Kennedy was dying, you know, the torch is passed, the dream lives on,
and now you see, I mean, and you just see the pendulum swing. I mean, it's true, I think, in some ways, when conservatives knock the press for not fully vetting Barack Obama, I think there's a tiny grain of truth in it, but partly it's because there wasn't that much to vet, you know, because he was...
Well, he wasn't even born here, so, you know, how could you really research?
Exactly. So I think now you're seeing the tendency of the American public, and maybe just humanity in general. You build them up, you knock them down, you build them back up again, knock them down.
Well, Robin, I made that point that, thank God, there was no Twitter and Craigslist and Facebook when JFK was around, because...
No kidding. But, you know, it was a time... It's interesting, because it was a time... The Kennedys and that and Camelot just kind of benefited from this moment in history when America, you know, the warts really weren't showing yet. You know, we were a great country. Yeah. We were the dominant global power. Vietnam was yet to really happen in a big way. And all these things that have kind of taken the shine off the American reputation around the world hadn't happened yet. So here comes this, you know, young, beautiful, gorgeous family doing these amazing things at this moment, you know, the torch passed to a new generation, blah, blah, blah. But they just really seem to sum up our country at this particular moment. And that's why I think people really are still so fond of them.
It's the what ifs. You know, I was talking about that clip of Barbara Walters asking John Jr., you know, about, you know, his political aspirations. And he said, well, you know, there's a lot of life left to live. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, he died shortly after that.
Okay,
so it's,
and to be so superficial, it's really embarrassing. How good looking was that guy? I look at pictures of him and I just think, he was some kind of god. I mean,
my friend David Bender was good friends with him, and he talks about the first time he came to the door. He opened the door, of course, with no shirt on, as he tended to do. And he said, you literally, like, I mean, he said they would walk down the street. People would just run into trees. And he just was startlingly, like.
Yeah, that much beauty should not be possessed by anyone young man. That is for sure.
Right.
And, you know, by contrast, poor Caroline, unfortunately, didn't get the beauty genes, but.
Robin of Kerry.
Sorry. I'm just saying the truth.
I think she's pretty.
She's a fine looking woman.
I think she's pretty, but
But she flamed out. Okay, she, I think, showed the limit of the Kennedy, the Kennedy genes and the ability to transition seamlessly from whatever it is that you're doing privately into public service.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah.
The limit to the Kennedy brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She kind of flamed out when she thought she'd throw her hat in the ring for New York senator to replace Hillary, right?
But you know what? If she actually ran and threw herself into a campaign, I think she'd surprise a lot of people.
Now, you know what? That's interesting. I wonder, too, because, well, she seemed to come off in the interviews was just ill-prepared, inarticulate, right. Kind of stumbling and bumbling. And
so she could be McCain's running mate.
I was just going to say, speaking of which, you've been covering Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann for the campaign trail for the L.A. Times.
I'm all over Sarah Palin. In fact, today I thought I was going to have to get up at 6:30 and listen to her on some radio show in Alaska that the hosts were promoting that she was going to make a big announcement, and it turned out, thank God, to be an April Fool's hoax.
Oh, fabulous.
I don't mean thank God because she didn't announce anything. I mean thank God because I didn't have to get up extra early.
Yes, yes. What, in all your years of covering politics, Robin of Carrion, what do you think of Sarah Palin? Exactly.
You know, I think, well, first of all, I think she's extremely attractive, you know, in all those telegenic ways that the camera likes and people like. Okay?
Sure.
So she's got that going for her, and I don't, you could call it sexist, but I'm sorry. I think that whole package is very important to her popularity. As I said to you, if she looks like Bella Abzug, I don't think she's getting traction.
Yeah.
So here she is. She comes out of nowhere. She's got all, I mean, I've been talking to people a lot in Iowa in the past week, because you know Iowa's the first contest, the Iowa caucuses. They love her. The very conservative, you know, evangelical types, the social conservatives, the fiscal conservatives, the Tea Party people, there's nothing wrong with her in their minds. She hasn't, you know, her mistakes that she's made along the way, they find endearing, like when she says squirmish.
It's a squirmish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They hold it against Michelle Bachmann that she didn't know that Lexington and Concord were in Massachusetts, said they were in New Hampshire. So they're a little, you know, squirmish about her. But
that was the first squirmish of the Revolutionary
yeah,
War.
Yeah, exactly. They love Sarah Palin. They don't know if she can go the distance, but they like her so much. And it's really interesting. Nobody questions her gravitas. They all say, hey, you know, the experience issue, well, that was put to rest in 2008 when the country elected Barack Obama.
Oh.
I don't know if she – I really doubt that she's going to throw her hat in the ring for president, but she can do it really late because of her celebrity and her ability to raise massive amounts of money really quickly.
One can only hope, because, boy, would I pay cash money for that debate between Barack Obama and Sarah Palin.
Hey, remember how she pulled it off, though, against Joe Biden? How she was stumbling and...
Well, if you like winking, I...
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, the consensus was by holding her own, she won because everybody expected her to come out and fall flat on her face. Yeah. And she was
the drool test.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, it'll be exciting for us reporters. And hey, we're what it's all about, you know.
Robin of Carrion, the best writer in the LA Times. I've been just a groupie for years and years. We will appear together on the Real Channel this coming Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on Hollywood Uncensored, talking about the Kennedy miniseries. Robin, come again soon. Come back again soon.
I'd love to. Anytime.
All right, honey.
Take care.
There she goes.
Yay, Robin of Carrion.
Yay. Love her.
Love her.
46 minutes after the hour, we're back with the remaining moments of Fridays with Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, that is like magic.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Hmm. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Did someone bone up my computer or what?
Yeah.
Look at this. It's the phone screening system. It looks like the computer in War Games.
Yeah.
Would you like to play a game?
Joshua's going to come up pretty soon and ask us to play tic-tac-toe.
All right. Chris in Yankton writes of Musakusa. Steph, are Boris and Natasha making big trouble for Musakusa and Squirrel?
Nah, Natasha. He's big trouble for Musaka and Squirrel.
Boris! Not my Musakusa!
Oh, I forgot. This is on a sheet of paper because my phone computer's broken. John in Chicago! Hi, John! Hi, John.
Hello?
Hello, John. Go ahead.
Oh, this is James. Hey,
James.
I got two points for you. The first one is on the Tea. Everything is on this Tea Party right here. The first point is that a lot of union people was in that Tea Party. And they voted, because I'm a union person myself, And a lot of my white brothers and sisters voted because they just didn't like Obama. They just didn't like him, and you know why.
Uh-huh.
So they voted.
Because he's black.
So that's why you're seeing them numbers going down. Now they don't woke up. You know, they voted against their own best interest.
Yep.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
That's why. Okay. Speaking of...
They'd hate him just as much if he was white.
Unions.
They impeached the white guy.
Union stuff. A Wisconsin judge yesterday did what thousands of pro-union protesters and boycotting Democratic lawmakers couldn't, halting Governor Wanker's plans, at least temporarily, to cut most public workers' pay and strip them of their union rights. Marianne Sumi is her name. Issued a declaration stating in no uncertain terms that the collective bargaining law that led to weeks of large protests at the state capitol had not taken effect, contradicting the Republican arguments that it had because the state office published it online. Yeah, maybe they have their Eric Cantor rules there. It's, but yes, because it's online, so it's law now. Hours later, Walker and his administration said his administration would reply despite misgivings about the order. Democrats and union leaders said Sumi's declaration showed the arrogance that Walker and his allies, including his top aide, have shown in trying to push through the polarizing law. So they have only just begun to fight.
Right.
They've only just begun.
All right, speaking of fighting, we've stopped fighting just because we run out of steam. It's the end of the week. And...
I know. I was all set to make peace here and y'all getting along.
Whatever. People don't realize we've been doing this for years, like any other family.
Right.
We fight, and then we make up, and then we
drink.
They come to my house and drink, and that's the whole thing. Julie says, staff, perhaps your occupational exposure to near-constant Obama carping, punctuated by occasionally stingily worded approvals of this or that particular thing Obama did, assuming it works out like he said and the pony really farts glitter, but he should have done it sooner or later, or he could have done it better, but he did it the wrong way, or he should have done it like FDR did, or a JFK, or LBJ. Plus, he should have done that thing or the other thing at the same time, because now it'll never get done. Anyway, he compromised too much to do it, and now it's not really that great. And he did a crappy job of selling it, so no one remembers what he did now anyway. Lather, rinse, repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Julie, you feel my pain.
No. Yeah. Let's just follow him blindly like the Republicans did.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay.
Get rid of,
hey, look, it's happy clappy news. Unemployment rate falls to a 2-year low.
Yay!
Of 8.8%. Employers add 216,000 jobs in March. And that's why.
Where are the jobs?
By the way, this is what I was saying. Robert Reich. I finally got the name right. You're right. Earlier, I called him Frank Reich, which is some sort of weird combination of Frank Rich and Robert
and
Reich.
I was debating.
He was a Buffalo Bills player. It's not important now.
And I was debating on whether to correct you or not, because you know sometimes I overcorrect you and sometimes I correct you and it's wrong. So
yes.
I just was like, maybe she's right and I just don't know.
So that some guy you haven't heard of.
Yeah.
That wouldn't really be correcting me then, wouldn't it? We'd be uncorrecting me.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, but he was saying this is exactly the wrong thing to do, to cut like this. The economy is going in the right direction. It's still not. It is still very fragile, and this is just exactly the wrong thing to do.
More jobs. We need more cuts.
By the way,
you know, when you consider that Bill Clinton chose Reich and Obama chose Geithner.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Even as president...
Yeah, that's... We can
see
complain.
That's...
I am determined to end on a happy clappy note.
That niggling little... sort
happy clappy.
Even as President Obama's overall approval rating tumbled in recent weeks, his ratings among young adults have shifted upward, according to a new poll of 18 to 29-year-olds. 55% say they approve the president's job performance, up 6 points. Among college students, he does even better, a 60% approval rating.
Hmm.
I mean, I think, honestly, with the buyer's remorse... for a lot of these Republicans we've elected already, I think he could put together the coalition that he elected him in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Yeah, well, he's got to get rid of,
if he wants to,
Geithner.
Guess
and
who?
And,
he needs to take my advice on one thing, and that is switch Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. I'm just saying.
Yes. Hmm.
Hillary Clinton has a 66% approval rating, her highest during Obama's term. According to
both of them with Folgers crystals.
Exactly. She handily beats Obama, Biden, Defense Secretary Gates, everybody. As Gallup notes, the position she occupies is a likely factor in her popularity. Recent Secretary of States have also enjoyed high approval ratings. But it was that rumor, and I don't know if it's true, but that Joe Biden's always wanted to be Secretary of State. And I'm just saying they do a switcheroo, and then we get Obama for 4 more, and then Hillary for 8!
I think only if he was nervous would he do that. And that would make Hillary president into her 70s, by the way. And
so,
I don't think they're
you're not going to make an old woman chuck, are you?
No, but the Republicans running. I'm now calling the GOP 2012 field Obama's reelection committee because Obama's not even going to need to leave the House to get elected against these guys.
Yeah. By the way, Rand Paul, that's who the teabaggers want.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Well, because Obama lacks experience, Steph.
Uh-huh. This is just, it makes me crazy, this whole, the war on labor right now. He appeared on Fox Business Network. At one point during the interview, he began attacking government unions, saying they're going to have to contribute to their pensions and health care plans just like he has to as a senator, and that Kentuckians back home don't have any sympathy for government union workers because they pay for their retirements. This is patently, where's my lying?
You're a lying sack of crap.
It's public workers at all levels of government have to contribute to their pension and health care plans. Federal employees contribute to the Federal Employment Retirement System, which requires them to contribute to the fund at a rate equivalent to 1% of their yearly salary. Meanwhile, their health care, just like Paul's, is covered by the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program, which also requires employees to share the cost with their employer, usually 25% of premiums, according to the Office of
Once again, the facts have a liberal bias.
Lawmakers contribute 1.3% of their salaries into their defined benefit plan. Let's see, 4 to 5 times higher, by the way, in Wisconsin, state employees actually pay the entirety of their pension plans via contributions from their salaries. I mean, it's just, ugh.
Nice.
Makes me crazy. All right, Eric Vollert, Rude Pundit, and Edie McClurg on Monday. Thank you, John Fugelsang.
I'm opening tonight in Laughing Liberally Off-Broadway, laughingliberallynyc.com.
Yay!
See you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.